about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Gentlemen of the board and lady, question. What is failure?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Did you know the average person spends a year of his life watching inspirational YouTube videos without actually making a difference? The average person will believe what I'm saying because I talk in a cadence that sounds thought out and factual, when in the actual, it has no meaning. It's easy to talk shit about technology and rhyme it with biology. It sounds like I'm saying something, but really I'm just saying some things. This isn't too hard to do. Simply take a phrase and reverse it. But make sure to do it fast, because if you're not too careful, the phrase might reverse you.
And now,
that's all I'm gonna say, because it's time to eat pancakes.
Our feature presentation.
That was Common just before the NBA Finals last night.
It's
weird that he did that.
I don't think strange... it was Common.
What?
No.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 17th of June.
What's up, you guys? How's everybody? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
Pump for baseball.
Right?
It's got my full attention.
Finally, it's about time we can get rid of these extraneous sports and start concentrating on what's important. Pick yourself an American League team. Pick yourself a National League team and start following them.
Can
start
I pick a different sport for them to play?
No. Start to get to know the players a little bit. Start to get invested in the race. And have yourself a hell of a summer.
Nope.
Millions of others are doing it, and it's fun.
Nope.
All right.
Come on, Kevin.
No.
Nope. Say so. Come on, get on board, you guys. Kevin, what you need to do, this is your answer, is you need to get in some sort of a fantasy league or some sort of way that you can bet so that it's important to you who wins.
It's the only way you can have fun, Kevin.
Well, in a sport that I don't care about. But then don't you have to know something about baseball to gamble successfully?
Oh, do you only see the people who win the NFL office pools or the people who are the most knowledgeable about football? You can wing it. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, speaking of gambling, did I hear you say, Monkey, that you are participating in some sort of World Series of Poker event
yes.
on vacation next week?
Yep.
How does that work when you go to Las Vegas? Like, as an amateur, there are some events that anyone can join? Anyone can play?
No, actually, all of the World Series of Poker you can play.
Anyone can enter.
They
okay.
have, like, 45 or 50 three-day tournaments that are smaller than the one you see on ESPN.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on ESPN, they have like 7,000 or 8,000 people. And the ones that I play in, the little three-day one, they have like 2,000 or 3,000. So.
And what's your game? There are a lot of different variations of poker that you can play. What's your favorite?
Just no limit hold'em.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are two World Series of Poker stories in the news this month that I thought were interesting. One is another victory for Phil Hellmuth. I'm sure you know that name. He won his 14th tournament bracelet last week. He has won four more than Doyle Brunson, Johnny Chan, or Phil Ivey, the other biggest names in the sport. He's won over $12.8 million playing poker, by the way.
Yeah, he's funny to
watch. Over his career.
He's funny to watch because he's great, but then people come in that don't know what they're doing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they play against him and knock him out, and he just throws tantrums. He can't take it. Like, when I do this, you're supposed to do this, and they don't know. So they don't,
right.
And they just get lucky or whatever.
Oh, my.
He storms out.
Well, he's won 14 championships. Then there's another guy who's in the news who won a different event. Maybe you saw him on the news. His name is Christian Pham. He was 40 years old. He was playing in one of the World Series of Poker tournaments in Las Vegas last week when he accidentally signed up for the wrong event. He only realized he was in a brand of poker that he had never played before after he had been dealt his first hand of cards. And, of course, by then, it's too late to unregister. Once the game has already started, you're in, right?
He was trying to register. I have too many cards. Oh, no. By the way, registering for most of those tournaments it's really expensive. It's like $1,500.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's what the game he thought he was playing. He
okay.
thought he had registered for a $1,500 limit hold'em. Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Well,
does that mean you have to pay $1,500 to get in?
No, you have to pay $1,500 to get into any of those tournaments.
Any of them.
Hold'em
okay.
just represents how much you can bet on any given hand.
Got it. Well, that's the game he was trying to play. That's the game he knew. Instead, he ended up playing in a no-limit 2-7 single draw. Now, for a non-poker person, what the hell does that mean?
2-7 single draw. I don't know.
All right.
I do not know.
I don't have to tell you how his day ended. Of course he won. $81,314 is what he won. Let me see. Oh, here it is. A so-called deuce to seven single draw rewards players for the best low hand, making it the opposite of games like Hold'em, which is the game the man intended to play. So there's a game where you try to get the lowest hand? You try to get a lot of those two, threes, fours, and fives?
Imagine all those people there that know what they're doing. Like, come on! He's asking what to do right now.
He said there was a very nice older gentleman sitting next to me, and he explained the game to me. I tried to figure out which hands I could play as I kept learning. I also was lucky and got some good hands. I folded the first seven hands until I'd learned the game from the guy who was sitting next to me. He was very nice. And he ended up winning, as I said, over $80,000.
Did he tip that guy out?
Right?
It doesn't say that, but he should have. Another player at the same table, Chris Mecklin, said he initially suspected that the man was lying about being new to the game, but he did concede that he seemed genuinely confused. At first, you suspect it's an act, you know, because people try all sorts of stuff with, oh, how do you play this game? Yep. I don't know. But if it was an act, he was very, very good. So Mr. Pham says he will register for the same game next year, this time intentionally. He said he had never played it before, never even heard about it. He lives in Minnesota where they don't have that game. So that was his introduction to that kind of poker. Yeah. So there you go. There's a heartwarming story for you to keep in mind when you head to Las Vegas next week. Maybe you'll get lucky, too.
I usually play in the Los Angeles Kings have Frozen Fury in Vegas, mm-hmm. and Luke Robitaille has a charity event. Mm-hmm. And a woman sat there with she pulled out a little list that she had printed out of the ranking of hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until you realize that was BS. She totally knew what she was doing. And everybody was, like, going easy on her and stuff, and then she just destroyed. So, good times.
I like her.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
It bores the living hell out of me.
Okay, all right. Doug Benson is going to be here.
Love Doug.
One of the best comedians. Love him so much. Should Omar call the police on his neighbors? Need your help.
I can't wait to find out if he did. He was serious yesterday. He made it sound like that he had already made up his mind. He saw one thing he didn't get that was going on in his neighbor's yard, and he was convinced that there was something evil going on over there.
I don't know that I've ever seen him that serious.
He was riled up.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. It's weird.
And he's not living next to the Manson house, right? It's just a little Asian woman.
That we know.
Wearing coveralls. That's all that's going on, right?
Yeah, I don't know that it was coveralls. He said it was a hazmat suit.
Yeah, right.
So we'll discuss that and maybe get some input from our listeners on, and maybe even some police officers to say, hey,
that would be helpful.
Call us, or hey, don't call us. Because I'm sure they get a lot of calls that they wish they didn't get. That's coming up. Have You Had Road Rage is coming up. Plus, we've got tickets for TED 2 all this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Another day, another chance for you to join our friend Ted Stryker and his tail at Universal Studios for a tour of Fast and Furious Supercharged, their new ride. We'll tell you when to call in, but it'll be coming up very soon here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
You okay, Bean? Sound like a little bit of a cold or an allergy or something?
No, I think I'm fine. Do I sound stuffed up a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I have had allergies. I didn't realize that they were that noticeable, but
just
okay, thanks.
Make sure you're okay, man. We need you.
Because who we're going to make fun of?
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, okay. But then also,
I wondered where that was headed.
You're fodder, man.
Bean,
you okay, buddy?
I'm okay. All right.
You know, he's not okay. I like this segue.
It's quite a good one.
Dave Grohl.
LeBron James?
Dave Grohl.
Oh, Dave
well, he's
Grohl,
not
yeah.
okay, but Dave Grohl is really not okay.
He's really not.
He's a stud, don't get me wrong. I mean, he did get back on that stage after falling off of it and finished that show in Sweden. However, his injuries are very serious. Not only did he snap his fibula, as we all saw in that x-ray after the fact, but he also dislocated his ankle when he fell off the stage.
Oh, God.
It's just bad on every level. They had to put 6 metal screws in his leg.
That's a serious break, you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if you see the x-ray, it's clean. It's a clean break. They're like just pointing in different directions, those bones, which should be one, have become two, and are pointing away from each other, which is not what you want. That means Dave has to stay off his feet for the rest of the Foo Fighters UK and European tour, so it's all been canceled. It means both Wembley Stadium gigs in London, the headlining slot at Glastonbury, the music festival, they're all off. Dave is healing nicely, however. The Foos are supposed to begin a North American tour with a massive 20th anniversary all-day concert at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July. They have not canceled that yet. They're going to wait and see how he progresses. So there's still hope that the American leg of the tour will go on as scheduled. But
he was a pussy.
He was the opposite, we're saying. I heard you guys talking about baseball.
Yeah,
say it.
You can do it.
Baseball.
Use your words.
Say it, Ralph.
America's former pastime.
Baseball. This morning. It's a bad taste in the mouth,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it's not good.
And while we're talking about celebrity injuries, Bob Uecker. Remember Bob Uecker?
Sure.
Yeah.
Baseball announcer. He was in all these light beer commercials back in the day. And, of course, he's a big part of Major League. Very funny film.
He is still, Ralph, he is still the play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, you'll be here, surprised to hear this, but Bob Uecker is still the play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers, even though he's 81 years of age. He was hit by a foul ball during practice, batting practice for Monday's game. Beating him right in the head. He had to spend the night at the hospital after getting dizzy during the seventh inning of the broadcast. Look, if I try to watch baseball, I get dizzy during the seventh
inning.
It's just normal. I don't know if that's really a technical medical problem.
And then
he had a mild concussion. He's had a mild concussion. He did not travel with the team on their next road trip to Kansas City, but they are monitoring him. But at 81, a concussion could be bad news.
Yeah. Is he still going to play RFK Stadium, does it say?
This is a different story now.
Oh, I see. By the way, your Phillies, Ralph, made a little history of their own yesterday. I don't know if you've been following it or not, but they lost 8 in a row on a road trip. It's the longest road trip loss they've had since their first season, which I think was back in the 1880s.
Woo!
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of, it reminds me a little of a waste of time.
So a new record of futility for your Philadelphia Phillies.
Reportedly, the pitch that hit Uecker was just a bit outside. Kind of hard to go back to the...
I admire your patience.
Thank you. Hard to go back to the punchline after we took a Phillies loss update. But,
we were talking about baseball in the 1880s.
I'm just as God made me. I just try to get through the segment the best of my ability. It's not always working in my favor.
Ralph starts the story, then just covers up, and we all go nuts and say stupid things, and then he comes back and tries to hit it with the punchline.
I just try. I'm just trying. Donald Trump, as you may have heard yesterday, is running for president.
It's very exciting.
What does NBC do, however, with Celebrity Apprentice? You know, there is that FCC Fairness
Act. Oh, right.
Act.
You can't get extra coverage.
Right. They give one candidate, they must give another. So would NBC, if he became a viable candidate, run that show? They would have to give a weekly hour of primetime airtime to the opposing candidates. So what are they going to do? Hopefully,
not air it.
Cancel Celebrity Apprentice, so we don't have to watch that anymore. Well, they said they're waiting to see. They're going to make their decision at a later date, but I guess they're waiting to see how long this candidacy actually goes on, because who knows, right?
And if it goes on long enough, then he should find his vice president that way.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin.
I thought that was stupid and you were going to yell at me.
No, this is actually helpful.
Okay.
He did an interview with George Stephanopoulos after his announcement. And George reminded him that when he was first considering a White House run in 1999 as a Reform Party candidate, he said at that time he would like Oprah Winfrey to be his vice president. And he said in the interview he still hasn't ruled that out.
Oh, okay.
Here's the quote. I think Oprah would be great. I'd love to have Oprah. I think we'd win easily. Actually, she's great. She's talented. She's a friend of mine. Of course, he had to throw that in.
Mm-hmm.
I like Oprah. I mean, is that supposed to be a bad thing? I don't think so. So there you go.
That took some turns.
Yeah.
Trump Winfrey. That's the ticket. Trump Winfrey.
I feel like maybe it should be Winfrey Trump.
Oh, how dare
they
you.
They want to win.
He's going to make America great again, Kevin.
Right, sure.
You don't know.
I'm really rich.
He's really rich. He's got that going for him. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Kendrick Lamar is 28 years old today. Chris Weidman, UFC middleweight champion, celebrates his 31st birthday. Venus Williams is 35. Actor Will Forte, who's the last man on Earth right now, over there on Fox, 45 years old. Greg Kinnear, love Greg Kinnear. He's 52. Thomas Hayden Church celebrates his 55th birthday today. And
I feel like, just don't say it. I don't even know what you're...
I don't either.
About to get to, but by your reaction, I think it's best to just say
somebody good.
Carmen and I walked the movie beat. Or show
whose birthday is it, Ralph?
What we're doing.
Someone Bean loves.
Who is it?
Singer-songwriter Barry Manilow celebrates.
Yay!
Already? Boy, that sneaked up on me this year.
Celebrates his 72nd birthday.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he get hit with a baseball? That would be the perfect storm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, do we have time for a beverage talk on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show?
Sure.
I want to give Allie an update because she tipped me off to something genius earlier this week. Allie, you want to share?
We were talking about the fact that I love to put ice cubes made of coffee in my iced coffee. Therefore, mm-hmm. it's not watered down. So I suggested, since Bean loves an ice cold beverage such as chocolate milk and he puts ice in it, that's disgusting and wrong. And we all decided he was not moral.
Right.
Make those ice cubes of chocolate milk.
So yesterday, I went out and got myself some ice cube trays, mm-hmm. brought them home, cleaned them out, filled them up with chocolate milk. They're in my freezer right now. I've got that to look forward to today. So I'm going with it, Allie. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Bean, wait, I'm very proud of you.
Wait, the end of your story is that there's...
that they're not even in yet.
That it's in the freezer?
Yeah.
Well, the process is still ongoing?
Yes. I haven't had
it yet. Can Doug Kriegel stand by your freezer so we can get an update?
It has started.
On Choco Cubes 2015?
I can try to make that happen during the show today and give you some sort of a live update as it happens.
What about after the show?
But that leads us into the next topic, which is as great an idea as Allie had to make my ice cubes out of chocolate milk, I have to divorce myself from the whole iced coffee because I think that's for communists. That's for Obamunists. That's how bad that is. I don't approve of or endorse in any way iced coffee. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You're afraid people will think you endorse it?
Yes. Coffee, ladies and gentlemen, is a beverage that is meant to be drunk hot.
Unless it's cold, and then it's perfect.
And then you need to put it in the microwave and heat that up and then drink it like a goddamn cup of coffee.
What?
How can anyone have this strong a feeling? Bean is...
You're right, Kevin. Kevin just got that stabbing pain between his eyes that he gets sometimes.
It's just the smaller the issue, the greater his concern.
Yes.
It's nonsense.
He's got an inverse proportionate reaction to almost everything.
What
it's
do you
not
do
that
when
I'm
it's
concerned.
Really
I'm outraged. I'm outraged.
Children
by
are dying of hunger? Oh, don't worry about that. Stop drinking coffee with ice.
It's 100 degrees. What are you going to drink if you want coffee? An iced coffee. Thank you so much.
No, yum. Why would you drink? Look, here's my whole thing. I believe, and I know that associate producer Christine did the research and is trying to tell me that iced coffees have been around since at least, what did she say?
Since
1840s,
yes.
It says here.
Uh-huh.
I believe, and in my memory, and tell me if this sounds right to you guys, that the iced coffee is something that didn't exist at all when we were growing up. It's only been around for 20 years or something like that, but some hipster douchebag said, hey, let's put ice in coffee. That'll be wacky.
Now, is he a hipster douchebag when he puts ice in it, in a beverage, but you're cool and you love it when you put ice in chocolate milk?
Because I'm putting ice in a thing that's meant to be cold. I'm making a cold thing colder. I'm not making a hot thing cold. Making a hot thing cold doesn't make any sense. Coffee is a hot beverage.
Unless you drink it cold.
Yeah, coffee's
why
just
would you
a
drink
beverage.
It cold?
Because
what's the advantage to drinking cold coffee?
It tastes good and it's refreshing.
So when you go to Starbucks and buy hot coffee, Allie, do you then put it on the desk and just let it get to room temperature before you take a sip?
No, that's crazy talk. I have a cold brew system at home.
You can enjoy it either way.
At home, you mean in the passenger seat?
Yes. Well, I am
a person who loves a steaming hot cup of health, but also I really enjoy a nice iced coffee.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
But of course it does, because I am capable of maintaining two opposing viewpoints in my brain at one time.
That's nuts.
Further explain, that doesn't make any sense.
What part of coffee is a hot beverage is being lost on this discussion, you guys?
First of all, insanity boy, let me just throw some logic into the conversation. I don't know, it'll make no dent whatsoever, but how about tea? A beverage for which thousands of years was mm-hmm. brewed and enjoyed hot, but now is regularly enjoyed iced, as in iced tea.
Tea, I approve of.
How is it any different?
It's awesome. How is it any different? I feel like tea has been drunk cold forever, is what I feel like.
But at some point, don't you think they started going, hey, this is good cold?
In Japan and China, it was drank as a hot beverage for thousands of years before ice was even available to the average person.
Yeah, that's probably true,
actually. It is not a probably true. It's absolutely true.
Look, maybe it's me, but I'm not a fan.
I say we're done now.
I'm not a fan of things that are meant to be hot being cold. For instance, I can't and won't and nobody should eat cold pizza, for instance, because pizza is a hot food.
What are you talking about?
Cold pizza sounds like garbage.
Cold pizza the next day is the best.
Have a microwave, have an oven, have a stove, or be Kevin and cook it on a barbecue. But you heat up your pizza. That's how pizza. Look, they don't. When you order a pizza, they don't bring it to you ice cold. They bring it to you hot because that's the way it's meant to be eaten.
Oh my God. Well, they bring it to you hot because you have to put it in an oven to make it. So they want to deliver it to you as soon as possible. So they bring it to you to your table.
They bring
from
it to you hot
oven.
Because that's how people want to eat it. Though cold pizza, no. I say that's a no as well. Along with cold coffee.
What else you got?
Man, you got a lot of rules.
But everybody has a lot of rules. Everybody has the foods that they
extra
eat,
pizza.
Don't eat, no, like
throw
and don't like.
Yeah, but we don't make rules for the world and try and put it out there like that's not okay with me.
Because ice
it's
coffee
not a yes
is for
or no
communists.
Proposition. Well, then how do you explain iced tea?
I can't explain iced tea.
Well, then shut up!
Because I feel like iced tea. I feel like iced tea was grandfathered in my lifetime.
Oh,
iced
tea is grandfathered in.
Because it has always existed. Iced coffee is. I told you it's hipster douchebags. That's what iced coffee is.
What? That's no. not. The hipsters have nothing to do with.
I feel like
cold
they did.
Coffee.
I feel like Starbucks had a meeting one day where they said, "Guys, it's 100 degrees out. People aren't drinking coffee. What are we going to do? I got it. Let's put ice cubes in it and see if they'll buy it." And that's what happened. And people fell for it.
Is it
people
possible?
People know it's awful, but they fell for it anyway because they're hipster douchebags.
And
a
but
scam.
You're not. But
they
you're
scammed.
You're not a hipster douchebag for putting ice in your chocolate milk.
For drinking chocolate milk like an 8-year-old anyway, a grown ass man drinking chocolate milk like a child, that's hipster personified. Why don't you go to summer camp, Milk Counselors, and drink your chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk. And I know, I have Kevin's support on chocolate milk as being one of the greatest beverages in the world.
Great.
It's just even a little colder, it's even better.
Okay.
So stick. Look, we're out of time.
No, we're not. We have Jennifer.
Have plenty of time.
Jennifer in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
What's the difference between hot chocolate and chocolate milk?
Boom.
Boom.
Oh, nailed it.
Boom.
What's the difference between meaning, is it okay to drink either of those?
She's saying they're the...
You can drink it both ways, just like hot coffee and iced coffee.
Yeah. She's saying hot chocolate is basically chocolate milk heated up.
I think I'm okay with that. I like it. Sounds good.
What's happening?
Great idea, Jennifer.
What? How can you have rules if your rules don't apply to anything?
My rules. Look,
you're arbitrary rule guy.
My rule was that coffee needs to be drank hot. That's the only thing I'm saying. You guys are bringing all this other stuff into it. I'm not the
because
one bringing
all
up tea
of these other examples
milk.
Are exactly the same. And logically, you're out of it, man.
Everything you're saying is you got to apply the same rules to something that is similar.
What?
You can't use that word on the air. Kevin, you should know better.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
All right. We're opening up the phones right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you would like a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Ted 2, we're going to hook you up. The movie is in theaters everywhere on June 26th, and you can see the K-Rock screening on June 23rd. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're not just giving away, by the way. You're going to have to earn them. So good luck. That's coming up on K-Rock.
I love Donald Trump.
Do you now?
Yeah. He's crazy.
I watched his announcement yesterday, and I came to the conclusion that he's a bag of hot air.
You just came to that conclusion?
Yes. I was thinking of voting for him, and then I watched his speech yesterday, and I thought, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Did you see any of it on the TV yesterday?
I did
or
not,
clips
no.
or, okay. First of all, I watched the whole thing. It was about 40 minutes long. No one drops more names than Donald Trump. Nobody knows more people than Donald Trump. Nobody likes himself more than Donald Trump likes himself. And he also had a little piece of like spittle right in the corner of his mouth the entire speech that I fixated on. I don't understand how he didn't know it was there and why he didn't wipe that away for the most important moment of his life, basically, running for president of the United States.
So your biggest problem with him as a candidate is spittle?
Spittle. He had some spittle going on, yeah. Now, he has flirted with running for president numerous times. I feel like every 4 years we go through this, will he or won't he? But yesterday he actually did make the announcement. I think we got some audio from it, right?
We do. We have sort of a dance remix.
Did you say CNN did this?
Yes, CNN put it up. They put up a mashup of some of the highlights of his speech.
Our country is in serious trouble. China. I beat China all the time. When did we beat Japan at anything? The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems. China has our jobs. Mexico has our jobs. Our enemies are getting stronger and stronger by the day. Politicians are all talk, no action. We need a leader that wrote the art of the deal.
Who would that be?
We also need a cheerleader.
Okay.
We need somebody that can take the brand of the United States and make it great again. I am officially running.
Yeah!
For president of the United States. And we are going to make our country great again. I'm really rich.
USA! USA!
Anyway, as boring as politics is, I think maybe the dance bed is the way to go with all speeches.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
No matter who your guy is, Bernie Sanders, Jeb Bush, whoever it is, man, if they get up there and they get a little dance beat going behind them, I think it kind of makes it interesting a little bit. All right, well, let's find out how it's going. He is already on the campaign tour, did a bunch of interviews yesterday. He's out on the road doing them again today, and Donald Trump joins us on the Kevin Beach. Excuse me, the next president of the United States, right. Donald
Thank
Trump,
you.
Joins us on the Kevin Beach.
Thank
Hi, Mr.
You.
Trump.
I'm officially running for the presidency of the United States.
Right. That's what we heard. Yes, exactly. Why now? You first flirted with this idea back in the 80s and then in the 90s and then 2004, 2008. You always say you're going to run, but you never do. What's different about this time, Mr. Trump?
Because America needs me. America needs a president who wrote The Art of the Deal.
America only needs the president who wrote that book?
Yes. Huh. That's what we need, a guy who can write a book.
All right.
Okay. Now, look.
Me or Stephen King. Those are the two guys who should run the country.
You've obviously been very successful in business. You pointed out yesterday that you're worth almost $9
billion. I'm very rich.
You're very rich. You did say that as well.
Very.
And a lot of people have said that maybe fiscal management is one of the things that this country has been lacking. Is that the centerpiece of your plans for the country?
We are losing jobs to all these foreign countries. And someone must stand up and say, no, you're fired.
But, Mr. Trump, you've also lost a great deal of money. You've
declared
bankruptcy how many times? Like
right.
three?
Exactly. Yeah. And yet I've come back, and look at me now. I'm very rich.
Very rich.
Okay.
Yes.
So America, which is in deep, deep financial trouble, can be brought back to greatness just like me and my hair.
And your hair, yes. Yesterday you said that no one will be tougher on ISIS than Donald Trump. What's your plan there?
I'm going to go to ISIS and say, you're fired.
See, I think that might work on your TV show, but in real life, you can't do that to world leaders or terrorist groups.
Who's to say? Who's to say?
History.
Who's to say?
History.
Who's to say?
Okay.
Let's give it a
you
try.
I don't know. I feel like we haven't tried that yet.
Exactly. Yeah. We have not tried that because politicians are all talk, not doing. And I'm a doer.
You're a doer. Yesterday, you were very critical of President Obama and the Obamacare and how much money it cost to get that up and running with the website. Do you remember what you said about the websites yesterday, Mr. Trump?
Yes. Websites are a fleeting fad.
No, that wasn't it.
It will not last.
What? Let me play this.
Back to parchment.
let me play this clip from your speech yesterday. I want you to expand on this, if you would.
I have so many websites. I have them all over the place. I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
All right, so $3 websites.
Right?
Is that part of the new America?
A $3 website in every garage. A chicken in every pot. You're fired.
You can't fire us. We don't work for you.
Just trying it out. When I'm president, I'm going to fire a lot of people.
Okay, all right. Realistically,
yes.
What do you think your chances are? Are you just doing this for publicity, for your next TV show, for your next book?
Not at all. This is not fun for me. I'm doing this because America needs me.
Oh, I see.
And my real goal is just to really piss off Mexicans and Chinese and the Japanese.
Yeah, you did spend a lot of time yesterday talking about how you were going to force the Mexicans to build a wall that they were going to have to pay for. That was part of your plan.
Tired of them being a dumping ground for their problems.
Uh-huh.
And for their burritos, actually. Do not like burritos.
So how are you going to make them build a wall and pay for it?
I'll say, hey, go build that wall. Or you're fired.
Or you're fired. They are our friends, you know.
They're your friends.
America's friends. They're allies of the United States. We
My
work together with Mexico.
Are all lily white rich people.
Okay, well, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm very rich.
Yes, you are.
I'm stinking rich.
Yes, you are.
I'm wiping my butt right now with a $1,000 bill. Right. I don't even know if they have those.
Do you guys remember a movie a couple of years ago called Ted?
Oh, do I? When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words. You thunder, you can my
You can't get me thunder because you're just God's fuss. Right. June 23rd at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove is Ted 2, the K-Rock screening ahead of it opening up everywhere on June the 26th. Ralph Garman, you are here. You are in Ted 2, we have been led to believe.
Maybe.
And you got a little something for our listeners this morning.
Well, I thought we'd play a little fun game to give away these tickets to people who really want to go. Make them earn them a little bit.
All right.
And, of course, Ted is probably the most famous Ted in the world. But there's other famous Teds, too. So let's play a game called Famous Teds.
Famous Teds, famous Teds, it doesn't matter if they're alive or dead, or dead.
Famous Teds.
Famous Teds, the famous Teds, come on, everybody, let's play. Famous Teds.
Famous Teds.
So the answers would be Famous Teds?
These are all Famous Teds. I will give you a trivia question about a famous Ted, and you have to tell me what famous Ted are we talking about. The game called Famous Teds.
I think we've made that very clear. Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
We have John C. in Gardena. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Good, John. Here's your question. This longtime U.S. senator came from a famous political family, but still may be best known for driving his car off a bridge and into a channel on Chappaquiddick Island in Massachusetts.
All right, I'm going to go with Ted Kennedy.
Boom!
Well done.
You're going to the screening. Hold on, we're going to give you the Woo! Details. It's just that easy. That's a famous Ted right there.
Yes, it is.
Famous, is it? Famous Ted. You're not going to play it. I'll just sing it, man.
I don't have the shorter version of that. I'll play the whole thing again.
What's wrong?
Why is it so many people from Massachusetts are dicks, by the way, Ralph? Did we ever figure that out?
Oh, snap! Looking at you, Ally McKay.
Marco in Las Vegas, or from Las Vegas, in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey there.
Hey, Marco, here is your question. Best known for his role as lead character in the sitcom Cheers, he is currently starring in the CBS drama CSI. Who's this famous Ted?
Oh, man, I don't know.
You don't remember Cheers?
No.
You remember CSI?
Remember when CSI used to be on last Thursday?
Ted Danson. We're looking for Ted Danson, actor Ted Danson. Ted Danson.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you, Marco.
All right, let's go to Ralph in Los Angeles. Hey, Ralph.
Hi, how you doing?
No, we actually have
this is different Ralph in Los Angeles. Oh. Just on the phone, yeah.
Hey, Ralph, here's your question. Known as the Motor City Madman, this musician, hunter, lunatic, initially gained fame in the 70s with hits like this one.
Is that Ted Nugent?
It is Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
You're going to the screening.
He's so stoned.
Ralph is happy.
Yes. Why is it everyone named Ralph is stoned?
How dare you?
Let's go to Whittier and John. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hi, Allie.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Here's your question. This businessman is known as the founder of CNN, the first 24-hour cable news network, and WTBS, which pioneered the superstation concept in cable television. Who is this famous Ted?
Ted is correct. That part of it is right.
Yep, you got that.
CNN.
How about a last name?
TBS. Businessman broadcaster out of Atlanta. Ted Turner. I'm sorry, looking for Ted Turner.
Ted Turner, I knew that.
Yes, you did. You did know
Sounded
that.
Like you knew it, yeah.
Except for the part where you didn't say his name.
But he did come up with it after we gave him the name, though.
And he came up with Ted. He was half right.
Let's go to Eric in Los Angeles. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Eric. This broadcast journalist is best known as the anchor for ABC's Nightline from the program's inception in 1980 until his retirement in 2005.
Ted Koppel?
Close enough.
We'll take it. Koppel, we'll take it. You got it. You're going to see Ted. Hold on. We're going to give you the details.
Solid.
Ted Koppel's a famous Ted. Famous Ted. Famous Ted.
Famous Ted.
all I got. All right, let's go to Jacob in Pico Rivera.
What up, guys?
Hey, Jacob. This serial killer, kidnapper, rapist, and necrophile confessed to 30 homicides committed in seven states between 1974 and 1978. Here's a hint. It is not Bean.
How dare
That's
you?
That's a good hint.
Yeah.
Although he is the best Ted ever.
That would be Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy is well done, sir.
Well done.
You're going to the Ted.
All right. We have four. Man. We have one more. We have another question?
We do.
All right. One more question. Excellent. Let's go to Andrew in Glendale. Hi there.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Hey, Andrew. In 1902, the teddy bear was created and named in honor of the 26th President of the United States. Do you know this famous Ted?
Ted Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Well done, sir. Boom.
Wow.
You're going to see Ted, too, at our special screening. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
And thank you for playing the game.
Famous Ted.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin B. Show.
It's our friend Doug Benson joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on K-Rock. Come on, Ralph. We're all having fun now, right?
I'm having a great time.
Now we're having more fun.
Yeah.
Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I heard you guys speaking with presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Yes.
Earlier in the show. Kevin, I know you love the politics.
I love, sure.
I know you love especially presidential politics.
I do, yeah.
Now that we're a good year and a half out from the election and we're always starting to get hit hard and heavy with all this stuff.
Yep.
I had to laugh out loud as the New York Daily News claimed they got a hold of Hillary Clinton's Spotify playlist. Somehow they managed to get a hold of this list of 14 songs on her Spotify playlist. And they publish it in the paper. And I got to tell you, it's amazing how her playlist appeals to a wide variety of people and largely is made up of inspirational songs.
What a surprise.
As if you were looking towards the future and trying to instill some sort of optimism about what the future could hold.
Now, hold on a second here, Ralph, because I'm detecting some nefariousness in your suggestions here. Isn't this a playlist that any 67-year-old woman would listen to?
Absolutely. You get the sense that this speaks to Hillary and her generation and the kind of music that she likes. Let me read to you some of the songs from her playlist. This is just 14 random songs from her Spotify playlist that somehow the New York Daily News got their hands on. I don't know how they could have gotten this information. It certainly couldn't have been leaked from her, Ken.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Here's 14 songs from Hillary's playlist.
All right.
Believer by American Authors. Believer by American Authors.
Mm-hmm.
Best Day of My Life by American Authors. The Fighter, Gym Class Heroes. The Fighter.
What? She looks like a Gym Class Heroes fan.
Yeah. Roar, Katy Perry. You will hear me roar. Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Every 67-year-old woman loves her some Katy Perry. Break Free by Ariana Grande.
What?
Hillary loves Ariana Grande. It's obvious. Stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Kelly Clarkson. These are just 14 random songs from her Spotify playlist.
How much would you love to be sitting across from her and ask her to sing each one?
Happy, Pharrell Williams. Happy. Let's Get Loud, Jennifer Lopez. Pumpin' Blood, No, No, No.
What?
Wake Up, Everybody, John Legend and the Roots. Brave, Sarah Bareilles. Brave.
Yeah.
Fighter, Chris Allen. She's got two songs on her playlist called Fighter. What are the odds? This is just a random selection from her Spotify playlist. Beautiful Day, John Bon Jovi. And Vivir Mi Vida by Mark Anthony.
What? Sure.
She has a Spanish language song in her random Spotify playlist? What are the odds of that, Hispanic voters? She loves to listen to Mark Anthony and Spanish songs as well.
Huh.
That might, random that might... 14 songs of her Spotify playlist that somehow managed to land in the paper in the New York Daily News. I believe it. I think those are all... That's her jams. Those are her jams right there.
Right.
At 67, this white lady loves her some No, No, No.
I am with Kevin that we offer her $1 million to sing the chorus from each of those songs.
Give me something. Give me a little Break Free from Ariana Grande, Hill.
Seriously, Hill.
Go, Hill.
I drop it to 50%. If you can get 50% of them right...
I will donate a year's salary to your campaign.
That's crazy.
Look.
Who are they trying to fool?
How do they convince themselves that other people will buy this?
Let me read you the titles again, just the titles of the songs. And you tell me as if this isn't just tailor-made to instill some sort of fake sense of patriotism in the average reader. Believer, best day of my life, the fighter, roar, break free, stronger, happy, let's get loud, pumping blood, wake up everybody, brave, fighter, beautiful day, vivida mi vida.
I don't think there's a 67-year-old woman out there who knows who Ariana Grande is.
No.
Not one.
Come on.
Except for Hillary, right?
Except for Hillary.
Hill. It's on her list.
Because she's in touch with her constituents.
She's a hipster.
Can't lie on a playlist.
She probably drinks iced coffee.
I bet she does.
That's how hip she is. Jennifer Lopez was on that list. Speaking of Jennifer Lopez, her waterfront Miami Beach mansion sold yesterday to Phil Collins. Jennifer Lopez sold it to Phil Collins.
Okay.
What do you think Phil shelled out for? Let me explain it to you. Just get a little sense. I'll give you the breakdown. I'll give you the Zillow, if you will. 12,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 8 full bathrooms, 3 half bathrooms, a view of the Miami skyline, interior courtyard, koi pond, cabana, outdoor kitchen, boat dock, 60-foot swimming pool, master suite. The closet alone in the master suite measures roughly 1,000 square feet of space.
The closet?
The closet. The walk-in closet has 1,000 square feet of space.
No studio?
Ow!
No?
Ow!
Anyone?
Ow!
Kevin, you're very quiet.
Not hurt.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez sold it to Phil Collins for how much yesterday?
She hit all of us with one bullet. That was incredible.
She did. It's the magic bullet. It's back and to the left. Back and to the left. This is a murder film. We'll show how we all got murdered by that joke.
It's on the water. It's in Miami. It's how many acres on the lot? Does it say, Ralph?
It does not say the property. It's acreage, but
I don't even know how to guess that.
The home itself is 12,000 square feet.
Okay, I'm going to say in $2,015, that's going to cost you $40,000.
You are.
That's a good guess.
You are Mr. Real Estate, sir.
I'm going to say $15 million.
12.5. $33 million.
Wow.
I don't know why these stories always fascinate me, but I cannot wrap my head around buying one home for $33 million, no matter where it is and what it offers.
Yeah.
$33 million. Yeah, I'll never see that money in a lifetime of work. I'll never be. If I start working at birth and I was planning on buying this house on my deathbed,
right.
I would come up short.
$32 million.
That's right. To the tune of $32 million.
And by the way, this isn't Phil Collins pooling everything he's made over his 40-year career. I bet he has a house in Los Angeles. I bet he has a house in New York. I bet he has a house in London. I bet this is just a place that he'll be in a couple of months a year.
It's going to stay empty most of the year?
Probably.
Wow.
I would think also, being right there in the Miami Beach waterfront, that Jennifer Lopez is going to miss it, you know? She's going to miss that view, miss that house. I wonder if she made a deal with Phil if she could come back and visit once in a while, maybe stay in one of the guest bedrooms or just hang out a little bit. Although Phil's got a pretty big family.
Those
bedrooms are probably all full up with family and friends all the time. I can't imagine that he would be able to even have Jennifer Lopez come over as a guest.
Just a weekend?
Where would he put her? That's what I'm saying. That house is probably so full of family and friends already. Where would he put Jennifer Lopez if she wanted just to come by and visit for a weekend?
But then, so what do you think, Ralph?
But then it dawned on me.
Yes?
That even when it comes to very, very populated waterfront mansions in Miami Beach.
Right?
There's always room for J-Lo! Yeah, it's good stuff, right? We all feel better, don't we?
What is that a question?
Because we do.
I don't.
Hey, you know Rachel Dolezal?
Sure. She's the black-white lady.
She pretended to be black.
Stepped down from running the NAACP?
But she's white. Stepped down from the NAACP. Don't worry about her.
Okay.
Don't worry about her. She'll be fine. You know why? This week, she's been offered not one, but two different reality shows. No, not a joke.
That's not
a gag. She's weighing between two different offers for her own television reality show.
Watching her do what?
That is my question. What could that show possibly be? Watching her get her hair weave put in?
I woke up in a
No. This isn't a gag. This is not
tanning. Maybe watching her tan.
Wow.
There's no such thing as failure in America.
You
is
cannot
there?
Fail. You can
you
only
cannot fail.
You do anything publicly, you get rewarded. Good, bad, indifferent. No, whatever your behavior is, someone will reward it. As long as you do it large enough.
Yeah.
Get enough attention and someone will give you something.
USA!
Yeah,
right?
We're the best. This country's the best. Maybe Donald Trump's right. Maybe
I guarantee she's got a book deal.
Oh,
I guarantee
of course.
It.
Black Like Me. Name of her book. Did you see yesterday someone finally asked the question that we all were asking? How do you do that with your hair? What's up with your hair?
No, I didn't see
it. It's
that.
A weave. It's not real.
Oh,
she
really?
Faked this out, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Nothing's real anymore.
Hmm.
Bitches be crazy.
Right, Kevin? Today's celebrity birthdays. Kendrick Lamar. He is 28 years old today.
Boy, he's great.
Yes.
He is great. UFC, just enormously talented.
UFC middleweight champion Chris Weidman is 31 years old today. Venus Williams, tennis player. She makes that noise a lot.
She does every time she hits the ball.
She's 35. Will Forte is 45 years old. Greg Kinnear is 52. Thomas Hayden Church is 55. And Barry Miller is 72.
All right. The crowd, understood that. That's weird.
They're very
they
good
did.
Hearing.
It's a good
class. We haven't been subjected to Copacabana or nothing or anything.
But why
this
are
morning.
You tempting fate?
I'm just
Move
I'm
on.
Surprised we got applause for Barry Manilow's birthday. We didn't have to deal
just
with
wrap
the
it up.
Weekend in New England.
I thought you guys were over it.
We
I
are.
You guys were always trying to tamp down my.
We always have been, but it never Barry. Stopped you before.
All right, maybe next hour we'll pull
no,
out some Barry.
No, it's like telling a gun, "I'm over your bullets." It doesn't stop you from being shot.
See what you've done?
See? You had it out, man. You were in the doorway, and you turned around to address the room before you walked out.
Yeah. Teaches me.
It's on you, Ralph.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And we appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening this morning. Got a lot of good stuff on the program today, including comedian Doug Benson. Also, we've got Stryker walking you around Universal Studios, giving you a preview tour of Fast and Furious Supercharged, their latest ride, which sounds awesome, by the way. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Bean, you ever been in road rage? You ever had that?
I am certain that I have been super angry at something that has happened on the road, but it's never come to a fight like this story from a few days ago in Hollywood. No,
this story from a few days ago in Hollywood is crazy. Jeez. These two guys jump out of their cars and they start literally beating each other. And one guy, I don't know, he escaped the oncoming van by 4 inches tops.
Yeah.
5 inches?
It's unbelievable. They're at let's make sure we have this video up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, please, so people can see it. Unfortunately, it is shot vertically, so it sucks.
Oh.
But this is where'd you say, Ali? Sunset and Hollywood?
Yeah, Sunset and Highland.
Sunset and Highland. Okay, so it's two cars, both Toyotas, that are trying to merge into the same lane. And everybody's been part of that game. You've got two people who are both trying to get over, trying to get in the same lane. But they're playing chicken at this point. Neither one will give up.
Yeah, usually one is the aggressor. Mm-hmm. And then the other's right. Like, oh, come on. And then they just let them go and yeah. They back off and everything moves on. But not these two guys.
Yeah, and you move on because it's not worth getting in a fight. It's not worth getting shot, which is what happens these days. So one guy jumps out of his car and runs around to the driver's side as the other guy is getting out of his car. And they just start fighting right there in the street. And as we mentioned, one of the guys gets knocked down to the ground, and his head is basically over the center line into oncoming traffic. And a truck comes by and was 4 inches away from running over this dude. Now, if you're the guy who initiated the fight, the aggressor who basically pulled that guy out of his car to give him a beatdown, and he gets killed as a result of that, you're probably going to jail for a long time for manslaughter,
right? Yeah,
I
guess so, yeah.
How is that worth it?
Here's what I know. I know that when the van missed him and he wasn't killed, this guy kept beating him.
Yeah. Yes. He wasn't done. He was really, not finished.
Here's Channel 7.
A brawl that apparently blew up over road rage has police asking for your help. Take a look at this video shot by a man who does not want to be identified. Says he was driving in Hollywood yesterday when this happened between two men in two cars. According to witnesses, it started when the 101 was backed up around 9:30, the witness said the two men in separate cars were screaming at each other, and that's what happened. One of them, they got out near Highland, near Highwood High. One punched the other's car. Both men got out, exchanged blows. We spoke to the witness by phone this morning.
One guy went into the suicide lane and just passed the other guy. Then that guy did it to him, so they were jockeying for position coming down Highland. See people yell at each other and honk at each other, but you never see them just go fist to cuffs in the middle of the street. And it was definitely the epitome of road rage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, aren't most of us too lazy to get out of our car to get involved in a fist fight?
I know I am.
I know I am.
Yeah, it's lazy slash you have a little common sense.
But that was happening from the 101 all the way down to Sunset and Highland. That's a lot of
it had built up by the time they got involved in a fight. So that brings us to the topic of road rage that goes beyond you just flipping off the other guy or honking your horn or something like that. We want to hear about some fights here, kids. We want to hear when this has happened to you. How did road rage, and boy, I can't imagine how many of these stories there are from people who are listening. Anyone who spent any amount of time on the roads has seen this. But if you've been a part of a road rage incident, especially one that led to a fight, we want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. When we were talking about this after the show, Kevin, yesterday, you mentioned that you had followed somebody at one point after a road rage incident.
Yeah, I was out of my mind. He ran me off the road and then just kept driving. And it was so, like, blatant, I didn't understand. So I followed him into a store parking lot, and he parked, and I parked. And I started screaming at him, and he started screaming back at me. And then I thought, like, okay, it's sort of on now. Let's do this. And at some point during that thought process, he just turned and walked away. He wasn't really bummed by it at all. Huh. Not really angry. He's fine. He was cool.
So in your mind, Kevin, when you followed him into the parking lot, I know you were angry.
Yeah, there's no thinking.
What were you anticipating was going to happen? Just that you were going to yell at him and feel better and then leave?
No.
Oh, you thought it was going to be a fight.
No, I didn't. I was just angry, and I wanted to know why he would do that. Now, that's stupid.
You
want
to talk it out?
I know that's stupid. I understand that now, but at the time, I was like, I literally could have died right there. Why would you drive like that? And he had to sort of really speed up quickly to get in a position to run me off the road. So I don't know what I expected. I do know that I was very angry, and it's probably good he walked away because he probably would have beaten me up. But what are you going to do?
Or worse.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, or worse. I mean, that's my fear these days is you never know who's packing. You know what I mean?
Well, sure. Especially
a weapon.
In Los Angeles.
I don't know what Allie was thinking,
but a weapon is what I'm talking about.
She had a nice smile on her face. Yeah,
so we want to hear your road rage stories at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Allie, before we go to the phones real quick, you live in your car, so I would imagine you run into a lot of situations because you're on the road more than most
of us,
right?
All the time, but I'm not going to mess up my house.
Yeah, it's house rage. That's very different.
Have you ever had anything that's gone beyond just glaring or throwing in the finger, beeping the horn, anything like that?
I had somebody that I cut off, and I was aware I cut them off, and I did the wave, and I think that the wave infuriated them. Like,
really?
I was somehow taunting. So, yeah.
The apology wave.
I thought that made it better.
It makes everything.
That diffuses the situation,
did not.
I think.
It made this woman insane with rage. And it wasn't like a wave like I was taunting her.
Hey,
sorry, I totally messed up. My bad.
She has to accept that.
She
Those
did
are the
not.
Rules.
She did. She hated me so much. She was
Let's talk to
of
Mike in line four, please. Let's go to Ukaipa and talk to Mike. He had a situation that he wants to share with us here on the Kevin Beans. You're talking road rage this morning on KREC. Mike, what happened, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, so I'm on my way to work, and I'm a police officer, so I'm in my personal own vehicle. I'm driving to work, and this guy starts getting crazy behind me in his car, and I didn't realize what I did. I was just, kind of driving. Well, apparently, I maybe cut in front of him at a stop sign. I don't know what it was because that's where I first saw him. But I have a uniform on. I have an overshirt on because I'm in my, personal vehicle.
Right.
And I pull up to a stoplight. He jumps out of his car. He comes running up to my window and starts banging on the window trying to break it. All I do is I just kind of remove my undershirt. He sees I'm a cop and runs back to his car and takes off.
That's pretty sweet.
That was awesome.
You automatically win, though, like that.
Well,
yeah, totally.
I need a badge. Can you get me a badge?
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Yeah, I could totally do that.
Excellent. All right.
Hey, Mike, you're a police officer. Do you see a lot of stories like this? I mean, this one made the news because there happened to be a guy behind him videoing it with his phone. But is road rage as prevalent as I fear it might be in Southern California?
We get them all the time. And what ends up happening is one of the parties will call in a drunk driver. But they're really not drunk. They're just mad because of some road rage incident. And they think the person's drunk or whatever. And then they call us to go get them.
Oh, I see. How often do you hear about stories where both people get out of the car and start actually fighting, like this one on the news?
Probably 1 in 100. It's not very often.
Not very often
at all. So step it up, people? Is that what we're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Mike, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right, Steve, you hang on. And Chris and the other Mike and Chuck and John and everybody. All guys. How interesting. 1-800-520-1067. That escalated so fast. We want your road rage stories next on K-Rock. Got an update, by the way, on our man DJ Omar Khan, who told us yesterday about something going on very suspicious in his neighborhood. Did he call the police on the neighbor yesterday? We'll find out coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, we're talking road rage, this story that's just insane. You got to see this video in Hollywood of these two guys in Toyotas that are both trying to go for the same lane merge. And one guy gets out of the car and they get into a fist fight right there on the road. It's crazy that somebody didn't get killed as close as they were to oncoming traffic. So we're taking your stories right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line 7, please, first, and go to Whittier and speak with John and find out what's up.
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How was it, Kay? Good morning.
Hi, John.
Road morning. Rage. What happened?
All right. So I'm a truck driver, and a lot of people don't like truck drivers.
Right.
And I was leaving Orange County to San Diego in Laguna Niguel, and some guy was going to run a red light. And as he was going to run the red light, I honked my air horn, and he just started flipping me off. He's going berserk in his car, but he stopped.
He stopped at the light? Okay.
Yeah, he stopped a little bit past it, but he stopped.
All right.
And as I was headed towards San Diego, I just heard a loud pop. And look, and my tire's out. So I was like, oh, man, I just got a blowout and whatever. And then I just kept hearing more loud pops. And sure enough, this dude's sticking something out of the window, and I'm like, holy crap, it's a gun.
He's shooting at you.
Shooting at your truck.
Yeah. And mind you, I was driving a tanker at the time, and I haul, like, I used to haul used grease, so it's kind of flammable.
Right.
And luckily, he wasn't shooting with a big enough caliber to penetrate the tank. But I passed the weigh station where the sheriffs are at, and I started honking my air horn. And he thought something was pretty suspicious that I didn't stop at the scale and was honking my horn like crazy. And ended up pulling the guy over.
Sweet.
And cuffed him. And as he took him out, I went to go get my statement. And I'm looking at the side of my truck, and there's bullet, like, indentations all over it. And
dude.
I'm kind of freaking out. And as he was in handcuffs sitting on the side of the road, he stands up, starts running at me, and like tries to like bite me. So I'm like, because he can't put his hands up, so he's like trying to bite me, and cop ends up tasering like right in front of me.
This story has everything.
Wow.
Thank you, John. Boy, John's a guy who sure likes to hit his air horn, though, doesn't he?
He does. He likes
Thank that. You for the call. We really appreciate it. All right, let's go from guns to knives. Give me line 8 and Whittier. This is going to be Randy. Now, his road rage story, again, involves knives, so it's just not what you
Excellent.
Expect when you start out of the day. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hello. Good morning, Party People. Fire Beer Mug, please.
Indeed.
Well, I was on the way to work. I work in Whittier. I live in Whittier, work in Anaheim on the 91. The guy cuts me off on the freeway, and I honk my horn at him as usual. And he slows down, gets next to me, starts yelling at me, cussing at me. I mean, I'm not thinking anything, no big deal, whatever. Just wave him off. And he goes and flashes a knife at me. So I'm like, all right, pick up my knife. I flash it at him. Buddy, let's go.
So it's on.
All right, so he's showing you his knife. You're showing him your knife.
Yeah, like, all right, buddy, I got the same equipment. Just keep on going. This ain't going to end well. So... anyways, I just go and proceed, just keep on going to work, and I pull up on the driveway to work. I hop out, and I see the guy speeding in, comes in, hops out of his truck. I get ready to start throwing blows at them. He starts yelling and cussing, squaring up at the dude. Then all of a sudden, my buddy comes out of the warehouse that we work at and sees this. This guy's a big dude. He's like 6 foot, 6 foot three, about 225 pounds, stacked straight muscle.
He's got a machete.
That's not a knife.
No, he's just a big dude. He's a boxer.
Right, but did you get in a fight?
No, he steps out. He yells out, get back in your car. You got a kid. You got a clean record. I've been in jail. I got this. Dude looks at him, jumps in his car, and takes off.
So you brought in some muscle, basically, to stand in for you in the fight.
Pretty much. It wasn't my deal, though. I was ready to go. My buddy stepped in for me.
I just love that made sense to you, that whatever the incident was out on the road, that you were prepared to get into a knife fight over it.
Okay. Hey, if you want to step up, you might as well be ready.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to Mike on line one, please. He's in Ventura. You know, we started out this conversation by talking about the video in Hollywood that ended in a fist fight. I wanted to hear from somebody who'd actually been in a fist fight. Mike, it went down for you, huh?
Yeah, I had a slight fist fight. I was on my way home from work, and this guy on a motorcycle was, the light would turn red, and he would slow down like a mile before the light, and then it would turn green, he'd take off. And we come up to a light, and I'm just kind of talking to myself, kind of like, you know, what an idiot. And we make the turn and start to go again, and now he won't let me past him. He keeps trying to ward me off, you know, cutting in front of me and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not real bright being on a motorcycle doing this. We get down a little further, and the lane ends, and he hit my car and almost went down. He's in a motorcycle, and I'm in the car.
Right.
And so I'm like, all right. So I pulled over because I didn't want the guy calling saying I hit him, which I didn't. So I pull over, and I get out and ask him, you know, what the hell's your problem? And the guy comes at me and starts punching me in the face. So I grabbed his helmet and pulled it off of his head as I was punching him in the gut. And then the guy grabs his helmet and gets on his bike and takes off. And then the across from where we were fighting was the fire department. And they come over and they say, hey, is everything okay? What the heck was going on? Well, I explained what happened. But, yeah, the guy came at me fighting me. I ripped his helmet off. It was attached to his head, and I pulled it straight off of his head.
Did you feel good about the way it ended?
No, I haven't felt – well, I felt good that, you know, nothing else happened. But it was just kind of like, you know, I didn't want to get in no fist fight. I was just trying to go home, and the guy was just acting really stupid.
So. Yeah,
got it. Yeah. All right, dude, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's make it Encino and Chris on line two, please.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I was probably the motorcycle guy who's that your last caller was talking about.
You were?
Well, years ago, I used to ride a motorcycle to work.
Let me just ask you a qualifying question. Do you think he knew that he did it, or was he just not paying attention?
I will say he did it. He knew what he was doing.
All right. All right.
And I didn't want to let him get away with it because he probably does it all day long to other motorists. So I see he got caught in traffic. I turned around, parked my bike, got off, went and knocked on the passenger window and was calling him out like, dude, what's your problem? So he didn't want to get out. So I spit on his passenger side window. I was wearing an open face helmet at the time. So he didn't like that. So he did get out of the car. And now we're confronting each other on the sidewalk. He decided to grab me. And without even thinking about it, the first thing I did was just headbutt him.
Oh, you had the helmet on still?
I had a helmet on. So I headbutted him. He fell to the ground. I got back on my bike and went to work.
All good.
Good times.
Yeah.
What are 6.7 K Rock is KROQ.
What the hell's happening at the end of this song?
Come on, let the elephant finish, Kevin. Come on.
It's 7:39.
That's the voice of our what?
DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, what's happening?
2 days in a row making an appearance on the Kevin Bean Show. So Omar stopped by yesterday and said that there was something suspicious going on in his neighborhood. Let's briefly recap, and then we've got an update on where Omar's head is at now. What's going on, Om?
So last Thursday, I was upstairs in my bedroom window, and I peeked out, and I saw the neighbor in a full-on hazmat suit running to turn on her sprinklers and then running back inside, a total of maybe 15 seconds. And I didn't think much of it at first, but then I started really thinking about it, and I think they're killing people inside that house, and I am going to call the cops to investigate. That's where my head's at right now.
Wow.
And you know what? I really found it odd yesterday because in the morning show meeting that everybody on the morning show scoffed.
Well,
you guys
not...
scoff. You guys are mother scoffers.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy.
Boy, his voice gets high when he's frustrated.
All right, so you see her.
It's the wife
in a hazmat suit.
Full on with booties, everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she comes from inside the house and runs out, fixes the sprinklers or whatever, and runs back in.
Yes.
So your question is, what is she doing in the house?
What? And I was racking my brain, and, you know, we discussed yesterday being brought up beekeeping, which I don't think is happening.
Now, let me just stop right there. Because you said hazmat suit, and I, you know, a beekeeper suit is also something that covers up your whole body. And then Ralph said, well, maybe it was just coveralls for painting. I mean, we didn't see it. So we're just kind of going by your words. We're just trying to clarify how much of her body was covered by what she was wearing.
Everything was covered except her face.
Well, isn't that the part that needs to be covered?
Well, I'm thinking she probably turned on the sprinklers, went inside, and then put her face mask on.
Oh, to do what?
What do you, the what murdering? Do you think? Okay, what do you think, is going on?
Honestly,
hold that thought one second. Yeah. So yesterday when we were talking about this, Omar's like, I'm calling the cops. So that's what we were all going, what? Wait a minute. What? You don't even know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on, but I do think we live in a society where people don't speak up enough. I think, you know, if
is
you see
possible
something weird,
some people speak up too much.
That is true. I 100% agree with you. Some people probably call the cops way too much and waste their time. I think if I see something that I cannot explain that is very suspicious, what is the harm of me calling and tipping off a police officer so he can go there and investigate? And you guys were all kind of like really negatively saying, oh my God, why are you going to do that and put this guy through some sort of hell? And I started, on the drive home, I put myself in his place. And you know what? If I was in that dude's situation and somebody said that he saw something suspicious happening in my backyard, I would be grateful that somebody reported that because I have nothing to hide. So if the police officer investigates, no harm, no foul. If nothing's going on. If something is going on, then what? I saved the world.
What? What do you think? What do you think might be going on?
I really don't know. My gut tells me that nothing's going on.
Good.
And to just let it go.
Okay, good.
But
good reason to call the police then.
No. But if there is some sort of chance that something funky is going on, what is the harm of reporting it?
Okay.
I don't see any harm of reporting it.
Wasting the police time. Look. Hold on. Oh, I think this might be useful. We have a lot of, God bless them, a lot of police officers that listen to the program. Let's ask them just real quick at 1-800-520-1067. Is this the type of thing that would be a call that is welcomed by the police, that would just be a heads up, you know, citizen, just to, you know, trying to drop a dime on something maybe potentially bad going down in the neighborhood? Or is this just a big giant waste of time because clearly Omar doesn't have nearly enough to go on to be concerned about? I mean, seriously, if a police officer got this call, is this something that you would think would be worth following up on, to go to the neighbor's house and just say, hey, we got a report that somebody was running around in a hazmat suit. We just want to make sure everything's okay. So give us a call and let us know if that's a legitimate call or not.
Is this an option? You go over to your neighbor's house and you knock on the door.
Okay.
And then they say, hi, and you go, hazmat, what's up?
I don't really talk to this guy. I think if I do that, then there might be kind of, you know, some sort of weird feelings. I don't know. He might get ticked off. I don't know this guy. He's Asian, and I don't know if you've met like an Asian who is really kind of abrupt and kind of not a dick on purpose. He's just doesn't. There's a language barrier.
There's no
there.
Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, there's not a warm and fuzzy. Okay. He's very direct, and you know, we're friendly, and that's it. So I don't want to.
So anonymously, you'll have the police come to their door to investigate them, but you won't, as a neighbor, walk next door and say, hi, I live next door, I want to know what's going on in your house.
No. I don't think I want to keep myself and my family out of that situation as much as possible.
So I said,
I do want somebody who's a professional and used to dealing with things. Look, if the police officer calls right now and says, it's absurd, they're going to laugh at me, fine. That's fine, but I do want to make that phone call and just see what happens.
We asked you last night to do some investigating.
I did.
And Omar brought in some video that he took from his upstairs bedroom of a shovel in the backyard.
Yeah, two shovels. Yeah.
That's right,
I think there's blood on it. I'm pretty
based
sure.
On.
It doesn't look like it, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on all the blood that's there?
I'm saying
I saw
there's
blood.
No blood.
I'm pretty
not
sure there's
even
blood.
A drop.
Really?
Isn't it funny, though, by the way?
You guys are watching the wrong video.
Isn't it funny because in Omar's mind, there's either meth going on or their body's being buried under the house. that's something bad is going on. So therefore, isn't it interesting, though, that therefore, if that's already your mindset, a shovel looks so damaging, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, if you don't think there's anything going on, you go, oh, they're doing some yard work. They have a shovel. Like, almost every house in America has a shovel. But Omar is convinced that it's being used to bury people.
He does bring up a good point, though. He zooms into a green ball, which belongs to Omar's child.
And he never threw it back over the fence.
Well,
now, that is
animal.
A dick move.
Yeah.
That's actually a dick move.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, listen. We got a bunch of calls on this, including one who says, I'm not a cop, but I think Omar should definitely call the cop. Another one who says, I'm not a cop, but it's not a good reason to call a cop. But then we also do have a police officer. This is John from Long Beach on line 6. He is going to weigh in on whether Omar has enough to waste the police's time or if this is a legitimate concern and it should be investigated. John, thank you so much for calling and listening. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Fire Beer Mug.
Yes.
Been a cop for 15 years in Long Beach. If I got a call that there was someone in a hazmat suit, I want to come out and investigate.
Boom!
Yeah, I mean, what are the chances? I mean, 1% chance that person's legit.
Well, right. That's what Omar said.
That's
Omar
what I'm saying
yesterday
too.
Was saying if there's a 1% chance that there's something going on, he needs to tip people off.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not,
John? What do you think? What comes to mind when you hear hazmat suit in a residential neighborhood? What do you think it might be?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I mean, at least, right? I mean, after 9/11, anything is possible, and you're crazy not to let someone with more experience, training, and really, if it is something bad, and you go knock on their door, and then what?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Now you're standing there like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. We appreciate your opinion. So it's not a waste of your time, you say, John. You would welcome that call.
Not at all.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. Let's do one more real quick. Eddie is in Santa Clarita. He's on line 5. He is LAPD. Let's see if he agrees with John. Eddie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Fire beer mug.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of that going on today.
That's just a rest beer mug.
A rest beer mug. I like it.
All right. Omar should call you or not call you?
I'm sorry?
Omar should call the police or not call the police?
He should. And, you know, right now I'm working a narcotics unit, so... what I would be thinking if, I was on patrol and I rolled out there, I would call the narco unit because
they
wearing
got the best
a hazmat suit in the house, it might be a marijuana grow. You know, they might be made oil.
In that case, hold on. In that case, you don't want to call the cops.
I want to make best friends with this guy.
We didn't think about the grow house.
That's right.
Well, to you, pothead, perhaps.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So you're saying get a professional in there.
But for us, we'd be like, score, hell yeah. We're going to go in there, we're going to get a warrant,
Bust down
the pipe. Omar's going to make me a lieutenant.
Let me ask you one more question, Eddie, and that is, if Omar was afraid yesterday that if he calls the cops, do you guys tell that neighbor that Omar called you?
If it was Omar, hell to the yeah.
What? No, don't do that.
That's the right answer. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
The great comedian Doug Benson joins us right after 8 o'clock. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening, Ralph?
You haven't seen joy until Del Taco delivers a bunch of free food and beer mugs at the desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen such unbridled joy.
Little kid on Christmas morning? That kind of joy?
He's literally going, woo! In the other room, just screeching with happiness.
I think we decided a long time ago that he probably only eats when he's here.
He's like a squirrel storing up for the winter months. He just packs it all on.
And the food you find here is sometimes questionable.
Yes, but not this morning. Del Taco sent us a bunch of...
is awesome.
Their new burritos.
That is awesome.
And I need a nap now because I ate a burrito that was about the size of my head.
Kevin was just pointing out that right before you walked in that these burritos from Del Taco are chip-sized.
They are. It's like the size of a chip. Yeah. And they're delicious, too, by the way.
Fire beer mug.
Donald Trump has announced his run for the presidency. We live in strange times, people. The lines have become completely blurred. The businessmen turned reality show stars turned politicians. It's just all becoming one big just amalgamation of crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for president of the United States. We are going to make our country great again.
When Donald came out, however, he walked out on stage to Neil Young's classic, Keep on Rockin' in the Free World.
Keep on rockin' in the free world.
Great song.
Not a great song.
Great song.
Not. But also not Donald Trump's song to use. I don't know why these people never
they
never
do this all the time.
For permission from somebody before they play a song. I guess it's the old, it's easier to ask to give ask for forgiveness than for permission, right?
Yeah. Because most of the time, that's all that happens.
Invariably, they force the musician to come out and make a statement against you, though. It's never good. Nobody ever says, they didn't ask my permission, but I'm so glad they used my song in that rally because I'm all for that guy.
No one would ever say that in any way about Donald Trump, though. So it doesn't matter what song he chooses.
Neil Young has released the following statement.
All right.
Donald Trump was not authorized to use Rockin' in the Free World in his presidential candidacy announcement. Neil Young, a Canadian citizen, is a supporter of Bernie Sanders for president of the United States of America. Well, listen, Canadian citizen, we don't give a rat's ass what you think about the American presidency then. Go back to Canada. Vote for your king there, whoever they have.
I don't think
I was a civics major. I know what cooks.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Oh, you fired Neil Young. Man.
Oh,
that's hard.
Man.
You can't use my song.
Awful.
Great song.
Is there nothing Steve Martin can't do? Well, we're about to find out. He has got a new musical he's written.
He's written a musical.
It's heading to Broadway. It was co-written with Steve Martin and singer Edie Brickell. Remember the New Bohemians?
Sure.
Yes.
They teamed up and worked on this musical, and it'll be on Broadway in spring of 2016. The musical, according to sources, tells a sweeping tale of love and redemption set against the rich backdrop of the American South in the 1920s and 40s. Nope. Good luck with that, Steve.
Ralph, Edie Brickell, fun fact.
Married to Paul Simon.
Do you know who she's married to?
How's it
feel?
Well
done, Ralph.
How's it feel, sucker?
Well done.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, anybody that says fun fact needs to be punched in the face because it's never,
unless
ever.
You're Gary Colon.
It's never fun.
Except for Veep.
Just isn't. That's a little bit of a fun fact.
Nope. And Woody Harrelson, it looks like, will be cast as President Lyndon Baines Johnson in Rob Reiner's new movie about LBJ and his presidency.
All right.
Now, famously, of course, Breaking Bad's Bryan Cranston starred on Broadway in that role, which brought back renewed interest in LBJ's presidency, and now it looks like Rob Reiner is going to take a pass cinematically on telling the story. I think Woody Harrelson would do a good job as that. I hope they do that scene where he talks about his butthole and his pants being too tight down by his wang.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
Yeah.
So, leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, around under my, back to my bunghole.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being
our greatest president?
You're on the other end of the phone, and the president is burping and calling it his bunghole.
Give me more room there by the bunghole. Classy guy, that LBJ.
That really is, awesome. Of all the audio that has been recorded on the White House phone, that is possibly the greatest.
just white trash from Texas.
I would say, which one of my friends is this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Kendrick Lamar is 28 years old today. Chris Weidman, UFC middleweight champion. He's 31. Venus Williams, 35 years old. Actor Will Forte is 45. Greg Kinnear is 52 years old. Thomas Hayden Church turns 55. And singer-songwriter Barry Manilow is 72.
Fun fact.
How about this one?
Fun fact, he didn't write that song.
Boom!
That's actually true, Kevin.
Kevin plays the game.
Wow.
Kevin dropping some knowledge.
You're a secret fanalo.
I'm not.
You know fan facts.
I know that one, just that one.
You know who wrote it, Kevin?
No.
It doesn't
matter. Bruce Johnston of the Beach Boys.
Wow.
See what you've done? See
I'm
what
sorry.
You started?
I thought, okay.
You drew first blood. You drew first blood!
That's on me.
Go there, baby. Get on that, baby. Get on. You drew first blood! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Who's better than Doug Benson, you guys? Well, a lot of people, but who's in our studio right now? Ladies and gentlemen, the great comedian Doug Benson.
I was going to start naming people that are better than me.
He is back
keep
with
a list.
So many things going on. Doug, you're a busy guy right now, dude.
Yeah.
A lot happening.
I do have a lot happening, and I'm sort of between things, and I'm so busy that I just had to find one morning that I could come by and see you guys and talk about all of it.
We're always happy to see you. What have you been doing for fun these days? You still going to the movies a lot?
Yeah, lots and lots of movies. Of course, Jurassic World, and then proceeded to just argue with everybody because people just love it and they don't care how dumb it is.
Wait, people love that movie. Are
that's what I'm saying.
Them?
I'm saying everybody loves it. So what am I going to do?
But there were about 4 or 5 points in the movie where you go, "That is so stupid,
it's ridiculous."
Those kids just rebuilt a car from scratch that hasn't worked since 1992 in 4 seconds. I don't know. It's crazy.
You know Adam Carolla hated that part.
But then they go, oh, here are some dinosaurs. And you go, ooh. That's what I think happened.
The dinosaurs are really cool. There's a super high body count, which I appreciate.
Sure.
Because the earlier Jurassic Park movies are, you know, they wuss out and only kill a couple people each one. So that's cool. But, yeah, it just the characters aren't compelling, and they all just do dumb stuff for the entire movie.
But
they
it looks
never,
cool.
They never go for a good solution in any situation. And it's, sometimes they're just standing around talking while there's like the pterodactyls conveniently just go away for long periods of time. Like, where are they? Why aren't they just picking people off continuously for the entire time? Once they're free, it's kind of hard to, you know, they never show them being contained again, you know?
Yeah. Hmm.
So you were just miserable watching it? Like, you got no enjoyment out of it? Or were you able to go, all right, it's dumb, but overall, I kind of enjoyed it?
Bored during the talking parts. amused during the little comedy scenes that they threw in there with the two people that work in the control center and don't really seem to help or do anything, but they have a touching scene where,
sure.
where they part. And what
That's
else?
Jake Johnson.
Yeah, Jake Johnson's great. He was in Safety Not Guaranteed, the movie that this same director made. It was a low-budget indie thing with Aubrey Plaza.
I saw that movie. That's a good movie.
It's a really good movie. And then, bam, he's directed Jurassic World. He's now the director of the biggest movie of all time.
Isn't that crazy, Doug? You follow movies pretty closely. The biggest box office opening weekend of all time. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Worldwide, what, like half a billion or something?
511 million. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite movie of 2015, if you have one?
Oh, thus far, I'm pretty sure, because this question always, you know, I get so get my years mixed up. Was Titanic this year? I saw Kingsman, The Secret Service is my favorite movie
so
of
good.
The
that
year.
That was great.
Really
so
good.
So good.
Yeah, just James Bond. It's what I think James Bond should be now, and James Bond is getting more and more serious instead of fun. And like Spectre, just looks like the trailer's just like, what's going on here?
Wow, Doug's
who
tough
cares
to believe
about this stuff?
Dude,
well, I've seen
looks
you know,
great to me.
I've seen it does.
Yeah, it looks great to me.
Well, I'm excited that there's another one for sure, and there's probably gonna be some cool stuff in it. But like you know, Quantum of Solace. Did you sit through that one?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
really?
I liked it too.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy.
You
to...
liked when they dispatched the villain by handing him a can of motor oil in the desert? Said you're gonna have to drink this.
What do you make, Doug, of somebody like our friend Allie McKay to your left who has never seen a James Bond
I'm
movie?
Very busy.
She's a lady.
Not one.
She's got the lady excuse for not watching those because right, they don't seem to be interested. What about Ocean's 11 films?
Love them. And that's the question.
That's interesting because most girls I know that don't like James Bond also don't like Ocean's 11.
And I love the Bourne movies.
Wow, you
so
are
no
interesting.
Excuse,
yeah,
I'm the an new, enigma.
Yeah, the Bourne movies and the Daniel Craig Bond movies are practically the same thing.
Yeah, I don't
so,
know.
So check it out.
That's
so,
weird.
So get it on it, Ali. All right, speaking of movies, because Doug has a lot of plugs this visit. Doug Benson, Movie Interruption, you are doing Cinderella, which is the recent Cinderella, right?
Yes.
The one that was directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
All right.
Starring Cate Blanchett. Yeah, we're going to tear into that tonight at CineFamily, but it's sold out already.
Oh, it is sold out.
So,
okay.
But thanks.
who are your just so we can be jealous we're not there? Who are your cohorts tonight?
I got a couple of stand up comedy buddies that you may not have heard of, but also Ben Schwartz from the
Ben,
from Parks and Rec.
And, all right. So next time. Next time we'll come to the movie interruption. All right.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on with promotional Tool? New comedy album.
Yeah, it's a comedy album, and I brought a copy because Bean, can you take a look at that and tell everybody what that is?
This is Doug Benson, who is parodying Taylor Swift's 1989 album cover.
You're the only person your age that would get this reference.
This is Doug in his sweet belly with his hands over his little tight T-shirt. This is what's going on right there.
Well, it's just, it looks exactly like the Polaroid on the cover of Taylor Swift's 1989 album, because I thought, and my album's called Promotional Tool, because she was really good at promoting her album, and I just hope that, and it already has happened supposedly, that people just buy this on accident.
Oh, that's sweet.
That
is smart.
Because when it's small on your phone, it looks like Taylor Swift's album.
What a great surprise that would be.
So yeah, smart. Just start listening to some
guy. Instead of getting this crappy music, this guy's funny.
Yeah. Oh, so
you think there's a lot of crossover between Two Swizzles audience and your comedy, Doug?
There's maybe a tiny amount of it.
Well, there's me. I mean,
does it bother you when somebody refers to her as T-Swizzle?
Snoop Dogg's the only one that can call her that.
Promotional Tool. That title means something this time around.
Yeah, because every single track on the album, it's a live stand-up comedy performance with jokes, but in every single track, I figure out a way to work in a reference to one of my other projects that I have that I'm also cross-promoting with the album.
Pretty sweet.
Except for track number 4, where I just forgot to do it. And I spend most of that track just railing on Bill Cosby.
Now, did you...
Which the T-Swift fans will really enjoy.
Oh, they'll love that.
Bill Cosby jokes.
Was this your April 20th show that you taped? I seem to remember you were doing it in Denver or something this year.
Yeah,
right?
I was in Denver this year, and just for the hell of it, I decided this particular recording is the highest I've ever been while making some sort of record or TV show.
Right.
Because I was in Denver and it was 4:20, and I woke up and I just spent the entire day trying to get too wrecked. I wanted to get so high that I couldn't even get through performing the album, but I guess I'm
too good for that. You're professional.
Yeah, exactly. I've gone so far to the other side.
You look in Doug's eyes before like an April Foolishness or something. You go, this guy is not even going to be able to walk out on the stage, and he grabs the mic and just rolls.
Here we go.
Sweet.
Yeah, I love it.
Is it just muscle memory, kind of? I mean, you're so good at it. You've been doing it for so long that you almost don't even have to have your brain engaged to do an act now?
Kind of. I guess it's sort of like a singer can sort of think about other things while they're singing a song they've sung a bunch of times. But I also, I goof around and ad-lib a lot, and everyone knows I'm high. You know, on my Netflix special to do when I walk out on stage is blow out a big...
and that's your first smoke. Applause of the night too when that happens.
Yeah, and it's it just sort of sets up, okay, this guy's high, let's see what he can do. And if somebody goes, oh, this guy's not funny because he's high, then they just don't, they're not going to be into my sense of humor. If I stop smoking tomorrow, I'm not going to suddenly be writing jokes that are
funny to
so
them.
Wildly different and so hilarious. I mean, they could sit there and go, see, he's funnier when he's not high, which I get a lot when people watch Super High Me, because we do 30 days of smoking and 30 days of not smoking, so people draw their own conclusions. But I can still do stand-up either way.
Doug Benson is here. The new comedy album is called Promotional Tool, by the way. It is available for download on iTunes, or if you're old school and you want the CD, you can go to aspecialthingrecords.com. Recorded at the Comedy Works in Denver on April 20th. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Doug Benson in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Benson. Websites include DougLovesMovies.com and his own YouTube channel. Doug, I wanted to ask you one thing real quick before we talk about the Getting Doug with High show again, and that is Jerry Seinfeld was in the news a lot this week,
mm-hmm.
talking about how there's so much political correctness in America that there are places he won't do comedy, including college campuses. He says people are just so PC that they take all the fun out of comedy anymore. I can't imagine that's something that would apply to you and your crowd, though, right?
Not my crowd, but I agree with him about colleges. I've always, like, every college gig I've ever done, like, I just kind of shake my head and take the money, and a lot of the students, appreciate a comedian coming there, especially one that's pro-pot, because, that all the college students are cool with that. But I thinking about the Bill Cosby chunk that I have on my new album and saying that to a bunch of college students, they would all groan or
really
just not even get it. Because why would college students care about Bill Cosby at this point? You know, they didn't grow up with him, or maybe they did on Nick at Night. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, Seinfeld of all people, though, like what offensive thing has he ever said?
Yeah, he's,
you know, like he's a couple of offensive things on Seinfeld, but they weren't even his character. You know, it wasn't him.
Right.
You know, he didn't call that guy a soup Nazi. That's what everybody called him.
That's interesting. You're right. He is the most unlikely guy to have ever even observed this, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess he's got enough, you know, comedian friends that he could just imagine, like, how the students would react. But I just personally feel like someone Seinfeld's age or my age shouldn't even be telling jokes to people who are 18. You know, just doesn't even seem right.
Does it worry you that people are going into comedy clubs and coming out complaining?
Well, that's
that
just,
to me seems like...
That's why all of my shows are Doug Benson's doing a show at 4:20 this afternoon, or, you know, Monday night when the club's not normally open. I just like to do shows where every single person that wandered in there has some idea what they're coming to see. Like, nobody goes to the movies and goes, let's see movie. Let's go do that. And that's what most of the comedians you have coming in here plug in their weekends at clubs, they have to deal with dozens of people that just wander in because it's in a mall and they just feel like being entertained by a random comedian. And then why wouldn't you be offended by something they say? You're not even invested in that comedian, and they say something you disagree with, you know? And it's not like a movie, like, you know, with a comedian you can groan, like in a movie. Right. You know, you don't see people in movies groaning every time something dumb happens in Jurassic World.
Well, you did. You were groaning a lot.
I didn't groan. I just was, I don't know. I just found the whole thing, you know.
Gotcha.
Sorry to dwell on it.
All right, let's talk about getting Doug with High. How many episodes in are you on your web series?
Oh, I don't even know how many we've done, but it's we've been doing it for about a year.
Going strong?
Year and a half. Going strong. The only problem is booking people. Nobody wants to do it. Because even people that smoke a lot of weed have families, jobs.
It's still that negative, huh?
Yeah, well, they also, it's the, you know, losing control. On live, you know, because we go live and then we record it and then we put it on.
You're afraid you'll look stupid.
Internet. If I get too high, I'll say something dumb. And that's part of the thing that Seinfeld's talking about, and the knee-jerk reactions to everything is that, you know, you don't want to say something stupid on the internet. And so they're worried if they get high, they might do that.
Because it would be taken out of context and would be held against you as literally what you think, even though it's something you just came up with because you were stoned.
Or, yeah, it was just joking around.
Right.
I rarely say anything like, I just said that because I'm stoned, you know, like, yeah.
Bean will do that show if you want. If you need a guest, Bean will do it.
Well, that's what I've been hoping for, is to get Bean on there because we haven't had anybody who's never smoked weed.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. Really? So
no one has taken that bullet. We've had plenty of people who, like, Doug Stanhope came on. He's more of a drinker, you know, things like that. But nobody has done the show that has never touches the stuff and then tried it on the show. So that would
be
pretty
amazing. Which camp I would be in, if I would be in the camp that just got silly and goofy and talkative, or if I would be in the camp that would kind of be scared away and just kind of be quiet, withdrawn.
I think you'd
be catatonic, if not totally paranoid.
And then you would fall.
And that.
And then Doug would have to get you back up. And then...
And you do edibles sometimes, too. It's not all smoking, right?
Well, not on the show, because we only go live for like 45 minutes to an hour. So, you know, if you take an edible, nobody really, you know, that's not going to kick in until after the show's over. And then, you know.
And what's fun in that?
Which is fun. Well,
I mean, it's a
go to the movies or something. But yeah. But yeah. So the idea is we just kind of start from most of the guests aren't high when we start. Like I generally am, but most of the guests aren't high and we just start smoking. And then, you know, the idea is just let's just see what happens.
So seriously, Bean, you should do this.
I think it'd be great.
I don't know the smoking part.
Because you know
part.
Doug, you know him. He's not going to.
Would it be a safe place, Doug?
It would be a safe place.
I think so. I think people. I think you'll get a lot of new fans out of it. Who the hell is this? Like, that, it's part of the thing, and I'm being totally upfront with you about this. Part of it is that the viewers do come down hard on the people who don't smoke a lot, like they just take a couple of hits.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you've watched the show, you know that it's the whole time.
Yeah,
it's not. Right. You don't just get high in the beginning and then talk for a while.
Yeah, so it's and this Saturday we're doing one.
I want to see Bean so badly on that show.
I will
show.
Think about it because I feel like I'm at the age, Doug, and I also feel like I don't have anything in my future that in any way this could be held against me. It's not like this could ever come back and prevent me from, you know, running from office or being a doctor or anything else that I'm not going to do anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
I
feel you're like already running from office.
Yeah, he is.
But, I feel like it can't hurt me.
I would love to see a newborn drunk giraffe that is being just walking around there all high. That would be so great.
Yeah, and then, you know, also as you get older, I think a lot of old people should give it a shot just because if you have lots of aches and pains and, you know, issues, it really helps. Like, I haven't heard too many stories of an old person trying weed and going, this doesn't make me feel better.
This sucks.
This is the worst thing that ever happened to me.
So I would just be getting a head start on what is likely to be cancer in the future or something like that, where I would need medical marijuana anyway, right? I would just be out in front of that.
You might as well try it. Yeah, get the trying it out of your system and then brace yourself for a lifetime of
fun. Said you're doing it this you got another one this Saturday, is that what you said?
Saturday we're going to do one at UCB here in LA, which this show's also sold out, but you can watch it on the internet at youtube.com/Doug Benson, and it's we go live at 4:15. And then we start smoking at 4:20, and then we—it's me and five guests on stage.
Wow!
All smoking at the same time, and then we go for 90 minutes on those ones where there's an audience.
Strong.
So it's a real everyone by the time it's over is really, really high, and some of the people are barely moving, and others are just completely spazzy. Like it really does affect people differently.
Let me ask you one more thing, Doug, because we talked about the web series this weekend. We talked about the movie interruption thing tonight. You got the new album out, Promotional Tool. You also have a documentary that is going to be available on demand starting July 3rd, which is only a couple weeks away. What's episode 420 Chronicon all about?
It's this is the third time now that I've taken a Morgan Spurlock documentary and just sort of threw weed into it and came up with a punny title, because he made a movie called Comic-Con. Episode, I forget what number he gave it, but it was called A New Dope. So my movie's Chronicon, episode 420. his was A New Hope, like the Star Wars movie. And mine's A New Dope. And that's me just going around at Comic-Con a couple years ago. And this one's getting released just in time for Comic-Con this year down in San Diego. And it's just trying to get superheroes, people in costumes, to get high with me. And turns out they're kind of a straight bunch.
I feel like
it's kind of a family event that I was doing this at.
That's not a weed smoking crowd right there.
Not really. No.
No.
Which became part of the fun. Like there was like two running stories in the movie, like trying to find Morgan Spurlock because he was there. So I was like, where in the world is Morgan Spurlock? And then also trying to, you know, just get somebody in a superhero costume to smoke with me. And there's lots of stand up comedy in it and scenes from my podcast Doug Loves Movies, because we do that down there every year on Comic-Con, and Joe Rogan, Brian Posehn, Scott Aukerman, Kevin Smith all make appearances in the movie.
Wow.
I think it's really fun. It came together nicely, and people can check it out on July 3rd.
I swear to God, with all the things you've got going on, you're an empire, man. You're a multimedia empire. You are the most productive stoned guy I've ever met in my life. It's
I think
crazy.
I might be that, yes. I'm pretty proud of it.
On Twitter, at Doug Benson, DougLovesMovies.com, the YouTube channel, and EspecialThingRecords.com as well. So you got to keep track of all things Doug. Always great to see you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in. And
Thank you.
I guess I'll see you at Getting Doug with High next.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to me and Joe. It is 20 minutes till 9.
Hey, real quick, let me open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. We are giving away some tickets to IndyCar, AutoClubSpeedway.com. If you want to buy tickets, coming up in a couple of weekends, June 26th and 27th at the Auto Club Speedway. If you love to see car go fast, call right now, 1-800-520-1067, caller 20. You win. Ralph, I'm glad you're back in here.
What?
Yesterday, you almost had a nervous breakdown when you heard this Kim Kardashian letter to her future self. You want to bring kids up to speed on that?
Glamour magazine stupidly asked Kim Kardashian to do something other than pose for a picture. They did this little video bit where she had to write a letter to her future self in the year 2025, 10 years into the future. And I think what they were shooting for was maybe some introspection on her part, some reflection on what her life is now and what she hopes it will be. Stupidly, however, she started to ask herself questions in the future as if she was going to get some kind of answer. Is On Fleek still going to be a thing she needed to know? Will we still be taking selfies? She exposed her inanity, her stupidity, by asking her future self questions. And I said, how dumb can a woman be?
Here's a little bit of that.
Are you still filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Are you still decorating our dream home? Are selfies still a thing? Are the terms bae and on fleek so 2015? If not, am I still on fleek?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. By the way, if it takes you 10 years to decorate your dream home, you need a better designer. You need to go by Bed Bath Beyond, just pick some stuff up and just put it out around the house.
Doesn't seem that difficult.
Yeah, right.
What a colossal waste of time that whole exercise is on somebody like Kim Kardashian. As you said, it completely misses the point of what it's about, right?
Right.
And completely.
So we here at the Kevin DeMeade Show asked Bean and Kevin to write letters to themselves in the future.
Oh, you did?
In the year 2025. And I think they also perhaps missed the point of the exercise because Bean and Kevin have both their audio letters to the future, and I think maybe they also failed. Let's listen to Bean's letter first.
Dear Bean in the year 2025. 2025. Do people still listen to Zagger and Evans in the year 2025? Because, you see, they had a song for the year 2025. Is this thing on? There's so many hopes I have for the future. Have they found a way to make chocolate milk colder? I can imagine you, future Bean, are in the best of health, because you're the healthiest man in the world.
Uh-oh.
I'm okay. I wonder if you're having sex with robots right now. If so, give her one for me. Daddy Likey.
Oh.
But I have to tell you, future Bean, I'm concerned. Is the post office still operating in 2025? It's still the best value to put a stamp on a letter and get it put anywhere in the United States. If they did try to disband it, I hope you put up a good fight. Unless you're Jar. In that case, lucky you. I just hope you don't forget where you come from, future Bean. So let me remind you with this one piece of advice. Don't make any more Periscope videos of ferry trips. No one seems to enjoy it. Love, Bean from now.
I think Bean farted while he was making that letter.
Fart there?
It sounded like a fart sound while he was writing that letter.
It's weird.
It's weird.
How dare you?
So then we asked Kevin to write a letter to himself 10 years in the future, the year 2025.
And I'm pretty sure I understood it a little better than Bean.
It's a remarkable letter.
Dear me, in future 2025, you are living 9 years in future. I hope soccer is still going on. Do they have a way now to not make ending 0-0? I also hope you're living in a world where every movie is just loud and no more people try to talk about people's things. Also, maybe in the future you live in, future Kevin, the words are not important, so people don't need you for saying things, worry. I want to give you advice on how to remember to be who you are now. Back then, in now where I am now, but I realize you hate old things and you won't care what I think because I will be living in old times. So just get in your rocket powered party bus and go to Las Space Vegas. Woo! Poker. Love me, old Kevin, who you don't like because I am old, but you're older than me, so I don't like you either. Stupid, dumb, absurd.
Yeah, I think maybe you guys maybe
missed the mark.
Maybe take another shot at that.
Clear! I don't remember that.
Is he okay?
I think he turned out to be okay.
What's the ending?
That's rock and roll.
That sure is.
Say?
That's right.
That was like 30 pounds ago for Muggs, too, by the way. It's amazing. He's still among the living. Hey, it's 8:54. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
Big-time movie director, writer, producer, actor Eli Roth in the news. Apparently, after 20 years in development, Warner Brothers is going forward with their giant shark thriller, Meg. And he will be the director of that major blockbuster big-budget motion picture.
Couldn't he have mentioned this to us when we were on the phone with him yesterday?
I said we should get him on the phone and then maybe talk about how much he loves sharks. Well, and then maybe that would lead him into breaking the news about how he was going to direct this big motion picture. That would have been good.
He loves sharks and that he's hosting Shark After Dark or whatever show that is.
On Shark Week, yes.
And then he didn't tell us this.
This would have been fun breaking news to have on the Kevin and Bean Show instead of appearing in Variety last night.
Thanks, Eli.
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 How you gonna do us like that? Meg, of course, is short for... Anyone?
Megan?
Yes. Yes, it's a giant shark. Megan.
I was just taking a stab there.
Megan the giant shark.
Is that it?
Megalodon. Right? Megalodon.
Ah.
Megalodon, of course, Kevin, I need to tell you, was
sure.
The ancient prehistoric shark that they say was the biggest predator on the planet at one time.
Right.
Wow.
A giant prehistoric shark that could grow up to the size of 60 feet.
So this was the dinosaur of the shark world, basically.
Yes. Or the shark of the dinosaur world, depending on how you look at it.
Right, yeah. Well, that sounds neat.
So this is going to be a story of a prehistoric shark that was undiscovered that starts to terrorize the California coast. However, in the film version, the shark will be terrorizing the Chinese coast because they're getting a lot of money from a Chinese production company to make the movie.
So. How that works.
But Eli Roth set to direct, apparently. That's the breaking news, so... You guys really should have talked to Eli Roth.
Yeah.
If you had talked to him this week, you could have had that scoop. But no, not you. Donald Trump, our future president,
I hope,
announced yesterday in Trump Tower in Manhattan that he is officially running for the office of President of the United States.
All right,
why?
Let me ask
why?
Kevin. Yes,
because
why?
He is going to make our country great.
That's
again.
Right. That's correct.
That's why.
Kevin, I know that you are famous for two things. One is you don't watch the news because you're a kid. But the other is that you vote comedy. You get into the ballot box, you think, what would be the funniest candidate? Honestly, not kidding around. Pull the lever for Donald Trump if he were the Republican nominee for president.
Yes, I would.
Really?
Yes,
really?
I would.
For reals?
Yep.
As a citizen of America, you would make that
choice.
Would
it be the most entertaining 4 years ever?
Well, you have to live in the country that he was running.
Or devastating, or the most four devastating years in American
Maybe
history.
Maybe both, but you got the best.
Well, as we're sifting through the rubble 4 years later, are you going to find a lot of chuckles
that
in that?
That was quite a time, huh?
Huh?
Maybe we should go back to regular politicians now.
Look, I get enjoying the joke that is his candidacy, but I'm just saying in a hypothetical situation, he gets the nomination, you still, that's how committed you are to the bit, is that you would actually vote for him.
Asked and answered.
Okay.
Wow. Now, of course, this leads to the question in the world of entertainment. What becomes of Celebrity Apprentice? Because, as you know, there is an act of Congress saying if you give airtime to one candidate, you must give equal time to the other candidate. Would NBC be obligated to give an hour of primetime television a week to an opposing candidate if they ran Celebrity Apprentice?
I hope so. I hope that they have
Make
to go to all the candidates.
Celebrity
to go.
Apprentice, though. Make them
they go to Rand Paul and say, hey, you got to do an hour on NBC. What is it going to be?
The Rand Paul Variety Hour. Comes out to sketches and the musical numbers with Jefferson's Air Starship.
I'm not sure why that, but okay.
I don't know why they're there, but that's the only band they could book that week. NBC released the following statement. We will reevaluate Trump's role as the host of Celebrity Apprentice should it become necessary, as we are committed to this franchise. So it sounds like they would do the show sans the Donald.
They should do it and let him pick a vice president. What is this? This is
whoever,
obvious
whoever
stuff.
Wins the,
yes.
the reality show gets to be the vice
They're
president.
They're his running mate.
Put Gary Busey in the mix. And I'm
right?
Yes.
Now you're with me.
Trump Busey in 2016. That's the ticket. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, I would vote for Hugh Laurie for president at this point, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, give me some Hugh Laurie. I wish he was American. He could run. Although he's starting to stab Celine in the back, man. He's starting to step over the line, man.
That's the problem with a vice president. You don't want one who's too ambitious.
It's true. Meanwhile, Trump said his choice for vice president at one time, one of the many times he talked about running for president, said he would like to pick Oprah as a running mate. George Stephanopoulos did an interview with Trump after his announcement, and he said, that's still a good idea. George asked about it, and Trump said, I think Oprah would be great. I'd love to have Oprah. I think we'd win easily.
Yes, she would.
She's great. She's talented. She's a friend of mine. I love how he makes it. Jess, I know her very well. She's a friend of mine. Oprah and I, sometimes we get in the jacuzzi together. No bathing suits.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So, still potential running mate for Trump is Oprah. I like it.
I like it, too.
The Donald and the Oprah. Hey, you know, you guys were talking about that silly adult summer camp. Yes. Silly thing that you guys were talking
the
about.
The awesome adult summer camp, yes.
For no reason.
Well, they've just upped the ante a little bit. There's another adult summer camp this summer from August 22nd through the 24th in Malibu, being called Camp Mars, and it's 30 seconds to Mars adult camp. You get to camp out with the 30 seconds to Mars guys.
What are they doing?
They'll be hiking, climbing, yoga, cooking classes, campfire sing-alongs, ghost stories, and s'mores, they say. Plus, 30 Seconds to Mars will do at least two shows during your time there at Camp Mars. So you got that going for you.
Nope.
You can have s'mores with Jared. Uh-oh. Oh, he's dreamy.
He's dreamy.
He's dreaming. So this is kind of like the, you know, the 311 or Weezer cruises that they do on a boat. It's just that it happens to just be in a campground.
Right. Only instead you're sleeping in dirt. Eating marshmallows.
That doesn't sound
on a graham cracker. I'd rather be on a luxury liner, I think.
But
it's Jefferson Starship. Is Jefferson Starship still a thing?
I don't know.
I think they are.
They built this city, man. On rock and roll. I don't know. Today's celebrity birthday is Kendrick Lamar, 28 years old. Chris Weidman, your UFC middleweight champion, he is 31. Venus Williams is 35.
Are you just guesstimating based on the last time you saw them on TV, how old they look?
I lost her name on the list here. I had to do a little searching, but I found it. 35 years old. Will Forte is 45. Greg Kinnear turns 52. Thomas Hayden Church is 50. Singer-songwriter Barry Manilow celebrates his 72nd birthday.
No!
Wow. That music is just awful. It really is.
At least it's a high-quality recording of it.
That's the original Edison wax cylinder that he laid it down on initially. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sorry, Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
I was still talking.
Kevin Bean Show at 9:39. So happy when those songs end because you get to hear the song. Yep. We get to hear Bean.
Yep. Telling you guys something, man. I was in the middle
of
a story.
Win, we lose.
The off-air show really should be broadcast somewhere, I think.
Nope. How about Ralph Garman and a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning? How about that?
Ratings are in for the final game of the NBA Finals last night. Of course, Golden State winning the coveted Mirror Ball trophy. Congratulations.
I don't think it's the Mirror Ball.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
It's ABC. They use the same trophy for Dancing with the Stars as they do the NBA Finals.
All right.
Stephon Curry, of course, the big winner there. His mom, oh, she'd cheer up. She seemed a little down in the dumps for some reason. I couldn't understand that. But ratings says the biggest ratings for an NBA final since Michael Jordan last played in one.
Wow.
In 2005. So big, big numbers for ABC. Congratulations for that network. However, that's the jeers. That's the cheers, rather. Jeers also to ABC for trying to convince me throughout the playoffs, which I watched. Now, I'm not a big basketball fan, but I do like to tune in for the playoffs.
Right.
Jeers.
Yep. To what?
To ABC Network.
Right.
For trying to convince me that BattleBots is a thing. That BattleBots is a sport. Stop it,
love
ABC.
Love BattleBots.
You pipe down, young lady.
I love none of this.
Remember
from Comedy Central? It's real good.
It is what it is. It's nerds throwing metal at each other, okay?
No, it's not.
But that's all it is.
It's making these extreme little bots, and then they get in the arena, and then the pulverizer.
It's RC cars running into each other, and they're trying to make it something, and it's not anything. ABC.
It's something.
You know what it's
but
not?
Isn't it?
It's not what ABC has told us it is in the commercial. Have you heard the commercial?
I don't know.
Let's break down the ABC commercial, shall we?
All right.
In the history of competition, there's never been a battle like this.
Stop it. Stop right there. Stop it. In the history of entertainment. In the history of competition.
Yeah.
There's never.
Yeah. You're right. You're right so far. That's ridiculous.
In the history of competition.
Correct. Yes.
Remember when when guys would fight lions?
Right.
There would be guys in the middle of a park fighting lions in Rome.
They'd
give a guy a twig and then a lion would come out. That's more impressive.
Couldn't they just be meaning that there's never been a competition like this, meaning that we've never seen robots fight each other on network television?
Sure is
before.
Not Maybe what they what said. That's sure not what they said. They didn't say.
I think they leave it up for interpretation.
Never seen robots fighting on national television on a major network before. They never said that.
In the
history of competition, there's never been a battle like this.
That's pretty tough to defend.
Well, we get better.
Okay.
It's robot fighting time!
First of all, worst call to action in the history of sports?
Come on.
Let's get ready to rumble, is it? It's robot fighting time! That's their catchphrase.
They need some work on the catchphrase.
Is that going to be used?
I can't imagine.
It's robot fighting time, where two robots will come out and the guys have remote controls and they will battle each other now time. Keep going.
Sunday, June 21st.
Look at those flames!
Meet the athletes of the new millennium.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
All right, they're not athletes.
You know what they're not?
They're not athletes.
Athletes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what they're not?
They're not athletes.
Athletes.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know what they are? Machines with remote control.
So far, you're right
100%. They're glorified RC cars.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure this next part is accurate.
BattleBots is a new sport of the 21st century.
No. No. It's not. It's not. It's not a new sport, first of all. And secondly, it's not a sport at all.
Okay.
It's a hobby. It's a pastime. It's a get-together. Not a sport. Keep going.
Heroes will rise. Villains will fall.
Nope. Heroes will rise. Villains will fall.
He did say heroes.
They're not heroes, and they're not villains.
Well, I mean, you're right about that.
They're servos and sheet metal is what they are.
Right. So far, you're right, but I'm sure that comes around.
Look at this!
And only one can claim the title.
Going to Disneyland.
BattleBots premieres Sunday, June 21st.
And it's ABC, so I can actually say that.
I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd who can say that.
I think that was campy. That's what they were going for. They don't believe that.
You wish. You wish it was ironic.
It's ironic.
I wish it was ironic.
It's moronic, but it's not ironic.
Let me ask, because Allie seems excited about the BattleBots.
I am. I love BattleBots. I loved it on Comedy Central. It's fun. It's campy. And I'm sure this one, they're going to delve more into the people that are making it, what makes them
tick.
As well as their
robots. Yeah, you know what I need less of?
I don't want any of that.
These guys tick. Yeah,
oh,
I don't need.
See?
Nope. This is a YouTube clip. This is not a TV series.
And then they put them in an arena, and then there's like pulverizers and spike strips, and you have to maneuver them around. Don't you ever watch when like Cal Poly and all those different schools get together
I have the Cal Poly channel at home. I just rarely tune into it. I think that's 417 on my DirecTV.
I love when people make things.
You have too much time.
I do. It's
well,
true.
She just sits in her car for 20 hours waiting for the show to come around.
She drives around her house thinking she's a BattleBot. Oh, if I hit that VW Beetle right now, I would so crush them because this is the sport of the new millennium, and I'm an athlete.
She just said she likes it when people make stuff.
I get
see her in a factory. She goes down to the conveyor belt and just hides herself.
I love shows
she
that
just
show
herself.
In the history of competition, there's never been a battle like this.
Never.
Come on.
I get why Ralph doesn't like it. I don't get why Kevin doesn't doesn't love it.
Oh, no. I'm in. That commercial is stupid times
100. Because some of the cars catch on fire.
Yeah. Oh,
some have saws on them.
I'm in. They're cars.
Well, whatever they are.
Yes.
Whatever they are.
I don't know if this changes your mind or not, Ralph, but ask if Dave is listening. Dave, who do we know that's on this show that's going to be a part of ABC's BattleBots this Sunday night?
Jessica Chobot and Allison Hayslip.
That's a pretty good deal right there, Ralph.
Florian, too.
Jessica Robot.
Really?
4 days, 11 hours, 14 minutes, and 36 seconds till BattleBots premieres on ABC.
Oh,
awesome.
Who has the countdown clock?
I don't know it.
BattleBots.com.
Let me bookmark that.
I'm just saying it is what it is, and it's fine.
I agree.
I don't need to have anything against guys running metal into each other, but don't tell me it's the sport of the new millennium and these athletes are going to fight a battle never before seen in the history of competition.
In the history of competition, there's never been a battle like this.
It's campy.
I don't think it is. I think they're trying to sell us a bill of goods here.
You watch Bachelor.
Right. You know what they don't say in the commercials of Bachelor?
In the history of romance, this is the greatest coupling ever made.
In the most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
In reference to Bachelor shows,
Ralph.
It is dramatic.
You're insane.
Heroes will rise.
Right.
Villains will fall.
We don't know their backstories. They might. Okay,
wow,
That was dumb.
I really want to see the show, but now I'm on Ralph's side hearing you talk about it.
How dare
I'm
you?
I'm sorry.
Yep.
It's a campy ad.
It's not.
Adorable.
They're trying to sell us something that it isn't.
It's robot fighting time!
Hey, that's funny.
That was bullshit.
Yes, thank you.
It's time for those people to come out here with those...
Time for that thing we told them we were going to do this evening, later, earlier in the evening. Now it's going to happen.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt. No one's going to be trademarking that phrase. Bruce Buffer's like, I'm safe.
I'm going to watch it, but secretly.
I'm not even saying don't watch. I'm not saying it's not a fun thing to watch. I'm saying don't try to sell me that.
You don't see campy?
No. All no, right. I see hyperbole. I see them trying to drum up fake drama where there is none.
Ralph, how would you have promoted this show if you were ABC?
I would have said, robots kill each other. Huh?
These things smash and catch on fire. Right. Watch it.
Explosions and
I'm in.
Twisted metal. Watch nerds get their hate on.
They should have come to you.
Should have. Nerds who are usually powerless put it all into these machines and they feel better about themselves.
And we call them athletes.
This Sunday. Time for
Sunday,
Nerd Rage.
June 21st.
Look at those flames.
Meet the athletes of the new millennium.
They're not athletes?
Are they referring to the robots or the people?
Either way,
I know.
Fail.
I'm just trying to figure out which one they're calling the athlete.
It's ironic.
It's not.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
That's true. That guy has a point.
Movie news. Looks like Jurassic World shows no sign of slowing down at the box office. It pulled in an additional $26 million at the box office on Monday.
Well, Monday, Ralph,
just Monday
slow down.
Alone.
Monday is the big day that people go to the movies.
Crazy.
I don't think I've ever heard a number from Monday before.
Well, they've never had one to talk about before. This is noteworthy. On a Monday. Craziness. You guys looking forward to Princess Diaries 3?
No.
This thing on?
It is. And
I didn't know they'd made it Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
When Anne Hathaway became the queen of Slovakia.
What was the country? I missed it.
It was Slovakia.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah. Apparently, they are going to release a Princess Diary 3 movie. However, they're unsure if Anne Hathaway will be on board. Yeah, I'm guessing not. I think she's got better things to do. She'd rather be on BattleBots than be in Princess Diaries 3.
BattleBots is the new sport of the 21st century.
Hero. The new sport of the 21st century.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see the Beatles are getting some attention. There's going to be a new stage musical based around the Beatles.
Okay.
This is a weird idea. I don't see this going well, but what do I know? It's going to be a stage musical documentary.
A stage musical documentary.
Right. Well, what they will do is show you how the Beatles recorded some of their classic albums. The set will be a mock-up of Abbey Road Studio, and actors playing the Beatles will play each part of the song as they produce and put it together live on stage for you to watch.
Wait, do I have to watch?
No, you don't. In fact, no one has
to watch.
I'm going to
be watching this sport of the 20, whatever.
Yeah. Apparently, this is going to be a big deal in the West End, in London, and if it all goes well, they're planning on taking it to Broadway.
That was a band from some time ago.
It was
called
a band.
The Beatles.
That's right.
And it had Paul McCartney.
Well, yes. We know the lineup.
Star in it.
Yeah, they were both in it.
Who were still performing.
Two other guys were also in it, I think.
Of course, John
right.
is no longer with us, and neither is George.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
Right.
Hey, the Beatles invented us. Let's just put it back.
What? Wait, what?
They invented us?
And when the Beatles arrived in America,
uh-huh.
really changed our lives. I mean, look.
Right.
We grew hair when the Beatles...
We grew hair?
Because we were bald before then.
Wait, he finally grew hair?
He didn't grow hair before them?
Nope.
But before all that happened,
right.
there was news about the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Was John F. Kennedy was really put everybody in a sad position.
Yeah, that bastard.
That's what, the Beatles.
That's what he did. That's accurate.
Kennedy put us in a bad position.
He did.
Basically. What a dick.
The balls on that guy. That selfish bastard.
We were just having a nice time watching a parade,
right, exactly.
And the next thing you know, his blood and guts are all over the back seat of the car.
Like, look at my brains,
self-centered.
You ruined that. You ruined that
in a bad
day
position,
in November,
man.
For all of us. But it's in a bad position.
That's what you're supposed to do. Right, Ronnie? Right, Ronnie? It's funny, right, buddy? Yeah. We're, first of all, we're all bald. We're all standing around bald watching Kennedy.
That's true.
And then we had to watch that. And then thank God the Beatles came along so we could grow some hair. Because it got cold. Remember how cold it was before the Beatles showed up? You had to wear those caps all the time in winter because your scalp would freeze.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Wow, that's a good piece of tape right there.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Barry Manilow is 72 years old. All right, okay. Yeah. All right. Filthy, filthy song. Oh, Mandy, you came and gave.
Without taking.
Language, Barry. Language.
Seriously.
Thomas Hayden Church is 55. Greg Kinnear is 52. Will Forte celebrates his 45th birthday. Venus Williams. She's 35 years old today. What's with that noise?
She grunts a lot.
She makes noise.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Chris Weidman, your UFC middleweight champion. He is 31 years old. And Kendrick Lamar is 28 years old today.
I got a fun Kendrick Lamar fact that I just learned this week, Ralph.
Oh, sorry, we're all out of time for fun facts.
This is interesting.
Sorry. We're out of fun fact time. Maybe tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow where we're going to have more fun facts. But we're all out of fun fact time.
All right, thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Adam Nimoy on the program. You going to be able to contain yourself, Ralph?
I'm a little excited about Adam. Adam is working on a new documentary about his dad.
I'm sorry, a new what, Ralph?
A new Spockumentary about his dad called For the Love of Spock, and he's trying to raise some money on Kickstarter. And I'm so stunned at how much he's struggling to try to raise the money for this documentary.
I would have thought that would...
Given the number of Star Trek fans there are in the world, you'd think he would make it several times over. But he's struggling a bit, so I would like to have him on the show and talk about the documentary and about how people can donate.
We also have Carla Gugino in the studio, yep.
In studio?
Yes.
Oh, now I got a red tux and everything.
Dr. Drew will be on the show, Jim Rome talking sports, and we're going to talk to the owner of the Clippers, Steve Ballmer.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming. Hardcore. The hardcore Clippers. That's us.
Does he have his own weather report from Nova Scotia?
Same guy.
It's the same guy, isn't it?